It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Owen, J.J. Stone, O-Doctor is here along with Jason Snell. Well, yeah, he's got a... O-Doctor has a theory about the Sony hack. We'll find out what that is. We'll preview CES, and you'll find out why I am wearing a hat. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 491, recorded January 4th, 2015. Programmed to kill ponies. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/twit2. That's lynda.com/twit and the number 2. And by Squarespace. Creating and editing your website is easier than ever using their redesigned interface, Squarespace 7. Now with Getty Images, Google Apps integration, and beautiful new templates and more. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code TWIT at checkout to get 10% off. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter, user ID audible_com. And by Citrix GoTo Meeting, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com and click on the Try It Free button. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the week's tech news. Not that there's much of it. Here we are, the first show of 2015. Joining me, Jason Snell from Six Colors.
Hi, Leo.
Good to have you. SixColors.com is his new website. Former
great to be here.
Editorial director at IDG, at Macworld, and PC World. It's really good to have you. Happy New Year.
It's a pleasure. Happy New Year. It's good to be here. This is my first first podcast of the year, so I'm happy to be a part
me
of
too.
It.
Me too. Also here, Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, doctor! From OwenJJStone.com. And he's got...
This is for you. This is for you, Uncle Leo.
He's got some shaving cream. Actually, you're on for... Well, you're on because we love you, because you're great. But you're also on to give me some advice, because... So we did a... You may know, we did a 24-hour broadcast. Great success on New Year's Eve. We call it the 24 Hours of 2015. Second year in a row we've done it, in which we say Happy New Year in every time zone, all 27 time zones in those 24 hours. In fact, we had callers from many of the time zones. It was great fun. But what we did differently this year was we were raising money for UNICEF, I think a really great cause. The United Nations Children's Fund helps kids all over the world who need inexpensive things like mosquito nets, more elaborate things like education, helps kids be safe from violence and exploitation. Really a great cause. Charity Navigator ranks them among its highest charities. That's what we wanted to use it because it was global. So everybody who's watching all over the world can get behind it, and because it is such a really well-run charity. But we thought we'd raise $20,000. That was our goal in the 24 hours. Because, I thought, well, it's the first time we've done it. We have really no idea, but let's say $20,000. Jeff Jarvis, who's, of course, the wonderful host of This Week in Google, very kindly said, well, let me get things started. I will shave for the first time in 42 years. I will shave my beard if you raise $20,000. Amazingly, we raised $20,000 before noon. So Jeff kindly let me shave him, his beard, which I did a terrible job. He had to go back and fix it up. But I'm saying this is an excuse, because then I got swept away and I said, well, if we make first, then Sarah Lane pitched in. She said, if we get to $30,000, I'll sing the song I hate more than any other song with a passion. Bare Naked Ladies 1 week. And she did. We did and she did. And that was great. So I said, I have to ante up. I have to pony up. I have to participate. So I said, if we make $40,000, I'll shave my head. And if we make $50,000, there's never going to happen. This is safe. I will get a tattoo. And you see, those of you watching in video, I'm patting the padded part
touching
of my anatomy.
Touching the sensitive area there.
That's where the tattoo went. So, yeah, we got $40,000. And, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing left up top. And we also got $50,000. In fact, we ended up, you can put us over, I think we're well over 70 now. If you go to unicefusa.org/twit, we're at 61,000, but there's more than 10,000 from our auction. So we're well over 70. I'd love to get even higher. We're going to keep that site open if you'd like to help out. unicefusa.org/twit. So I had to, actually, initially I had my head clipped. And a number of people said, you know, that's not shaving.
No, you're full Lex Luthor now.
I am Lex Luthor. I am.
You're kojacking it.
I am the one who knocks now.
Yep.
And now I understand. Owen, you're here to help me, to give me advice, because you.
I prefer to call it black bear and polar bear.
If you were only here, I wish you were. Man.
The best part is we could like rub our heads together and create static electricity, friction.
Something would happen.
Something would explode.
How long have you been bald up there?
I have been shaving my head since I was 23. And I don't know how old I am now, but it's probably like 10 years or so, give or take.
I am Googling. Last night I'm Googling, first time you shave your head, what should you do? I'm Googling. I know.
The best part is people come up and want to rub your head. Like, cause
it's it was worse when soft. it was worse when it was kind of short. Then it was like a little teddy bear, and everybody wanted to rub it. Now it's a little scratchy. It's like number one grit.
Oh yeah, it is. It's a little sandpapery.
Yeah,
yeah. And then, in 2 weeks it'll be soft and fuzzy again. It'll be all teddy bear.
Well, that's what I'm counting on, because this, unlike the tattoo, and I did get a twit tattoo on my behind. Unlike the twit tattoo, this will come back. I hope.
What if it doesn't?
Well, then I'll be you. I'll grow used to it. I was freezing last night. I realized that you need a cap. Do you wear a nightcap?
Yeah, I have hats. I have to wear a hat.
Yeah. And when you go outside.
I don't wear a nightcap.
But I'm going to wear a nightcap, dude. And I think, frankly, now this is for the first time ever, this pork pie hat looks good. This is the Breaking Bad look. I need to grow a goatee. So now I decided I'm not going to shave either. I'm just, as long as I'm scritchy, I'm going to let it all grow out. Mm-hmm. See, we'll have a race. See which grows faster, yeah. My beard or my head?
Let it be all even, and you can turn into a wildebeest man.
Anyway, props to those of you who do this every day, because I did actually go down to the Boulevard Barbers, and they are very good. They knew exactly what to do. The barber there, Sarah, used a straight razor on me. Have you ever used a straight razor?
I've had it done. I've never used one myself. I am terrified.
I wouldn't do it myself.
I have a very, very eloquent old gentleman that opens his barbershop at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I go to him, and he does it. And I'm still scared when I'm sitting there. But it feels amazing. It is the best kind of shave.
It was great. She used essential oils, orange and stuff, and just scraped it.
She made you feel special.
But I'm not. That's it. I'm done. I'm growing it out now. I don't think there's any rule that I had to keep for any length of time.
No, that's totally fair.
I'm humiliated now sufficiently.
Grow it out all year. Don't get a haircut and then donate it at the end of the year. Start all over again.
Yeah. At the end of the show, I'm going to give thanks because, boy, you know, I'm the one in front of the camera. And, of course, we had lots of guests. But it's really the people behind the scenes who worked the hardest, like John Slonina, who worked 48 hours, not 24 hours, getting this thing ready, getting the ball drop going and everything. So I have a list of a lot of people to thank. We'll roll those credits at the end of the show. I won't use up the time now. You're not going to CES, Owen J.J. Stone?
No, I haven't gone to CES in like 4 years. I really find it pointless. They push so much stuff at you. Half of it's crap.
And half of it never ships.
Or doing anything. Yeah, that's what I mean. So you go there and you're like, I need that in my life. And it's like, oh, we're never going to make that. We just brought it here and put it on the table for you to not touch and want.
I bet you, Jason Snell, because you were at IDG, you had to go every year.
Yeah, in fact, I had arguments with my boss multiple years about whether I needed to go or not. And they're like, no, you have to go. Last year I negotiated, like, I only had to go for a day.
This show, the first show of the year, is the Aren't I Glad I'm Not Going to CES show.
I was saying on Twitter earlier today that I am totally qualified to talk about CES today on Twit because I'm available. I'm not in Vegas. Almost, that qualifies me.
Almost everybody who goes says it's great, and almost everybody who's not going says, thank God I don't have to go. Those of us who've been more than 10 times, and if you've been more than 10 times, then you have the right to say, you know, I'm done.
Do you know what's great about things is other people are there with you. It's not great that it's there. It's great because a mass amount of people that you know in your industry are there, and you can pick and needle and choose and talk about a subject. That's the awesome part of it. Otherwise, it's pointless.
That's totally true. I would even throw in there, it's not valueless. There are lots of interesting things to see. The problem is there's so much there that, you know, the interesting things are this tiny fraction, and you got to get through a million people to get there. And, you know, it is not a pleasure to go to CES, I would say, for me. I never liked it. I don't really like, going to Vegas. And Vegas, when it's completely at capacity with tech people, is kind of insane.
So hard
but
to get
it's
around.
It's not as if there isn't interesting stuff there. And, in fact, some of the best stuff at CES is the weird stuff. It's not the, like, press releases about things that are, you know, new TVs that are kind of boring. It's the totally crazy stuff that you end up stumbling into and being like, why does this exist? Why is this here? And often there isn't a good answer to that.
I want to break it down a little bit because there are some categories. There are categories you won't see at CES this year. Some categories that have been big in the past.
The smartphone industry, the phone industry in general, has gone to Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. Yeah. And so as a phone show, CES now is actually kind of terrible. It's not for phones anymore like it used to be.
Right. It used to be a lot of cars went to CES.
Right.
Less so this year, although...
Yeah, they used to have a huge one of those conference or convention center buildings was
for
just
cars.
Full of cars. Yeah. And car stereos.
Although I have to say, the one category that might be interesting, I would love to see more of, we've seen it in past years, but I think this is going to be the big year, is autonomous vehicles. Look what Audi posted on their Instagram. This is an A7 that's designed to be driverless. And they say, you're pilot to CES today. And I'm wondering if they might even use that to pilot some journalists around CES.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't that be cool? Google is supposedly also going to have some stuff there. I remember a couple of years ago, Chevrolet had some autonomous urban vehicles. They were very small capsules that just had two seats. But the Google car is done. I have a feeling it'll be there. It's sort of a small car, too.
Well, Nevada is essentially lawless, right? So, you know.
Nevada, actually, autonomous vehicles, as I remember,
no, it's
are
one
legal.
Of the states, one of the states where I think it is legal.
Yeah.
I think they do a lot of testing there.
So that's going to be kind of interesting. There will be TVs there. So we're going to send three reporters. Robert Ballas there. Father Robert will be there.
Oh, nice.
Dick DiBartolo, who always goes and does the junky stuff, the bottom floor.
That's the
Chinese pavilion.
Oh, that is the greatest.
He always looks for the weird and interesting stuff. So he'll be doing that. He also is doing Showstoppers tonight.
Right.
They have, I'll explain that in a little bit. And then, and Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, is going to be there and talk to the TV things. Now, in the past, it's always been Sony, Panasonic, LG, Sharp, and...
Samsung.
The Korean
LG
and Japanese companies. But you know what? Well, we'll talk about that in a second, because there are some new stuff like Quantum Dot Technology and 4K that those companies are bringing out. But I'm also hoping he'll go over, and I know he will, we're going to send him to TCL and Hisense, the Chinese companies, just as the Korean companies took over from the Japanese companies, when Samsung and Lucky Gold Star said, you know what, we want the premier business, the profit business, and took over and really have put great pain to the Japanese TV manufacturers. They're all losing money on TVs in Japan. In that same way, I think China is hoping to supplant Korea.
Yeah.
And Hisense and TCL, both are Chinese companies, and both are doing some really interesting stuff. So we're going to get Scott to – so we will have coverage – we just won't have the big booth. But, you know, Mobile Nations, Rene Ritchie's company is doing a big booth with Geekbeat TV and Tom's Hardware. They're actually taking our old location in the South Hall.
Yeah, I was talking to Serenity Caldwell.
She's going to be
on that. Yeah. They're on their area.
So they'll do that. It cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I didn't feel like – I felt like you actually can get a better look at CES by staying at home and letting everybody feed you the stuff. The internet makes CES – frankly, not that useful if what you're going to do is find out the new stuff. If what you're going to do is hang out with Owen and Jason, that's different.
Live the dream. It's different.
Yeah. If it's a party, it's not, you know, expense accounts aren't what they used to be. I remember going with Gina Smith on the Ziff Davis expense account. Ooh. That was living.
Sweet.
Didn't matter what you bought. As long as it was for a client, it was okay. So autonomous vehicles. We're expecting some interesting TV stuff like Quantum Dot.
Yeah, the story of TVs at CES in the last 5 or 10 years, I mean, it really has been, what do we do now that HD the HD conversion has happened, because that was the big thing, was HD conversion. We're going to do that. And now it's sort of the quest for what else can we do to sell TVs, because everybody just bought a TV. So what do we do? And so
first 3D, it was 3D. They tried 3D. Flop.
Kind of a flop. That they've done the curved screen thing. There's some OLED stuff that is early but is kind of interesting.
I have an OLED.
That is to replace the plasmas, because they don't make plasmas anymore.
I got the very expensive Samsung curved OLED more than a year ago. And it's still my best TV. I love it. But it's only 55. It's not giant.
Right. And Cena,
very expensive.
Cena just did an OLED TV review and said that it was the best picture they'd seen that wasn't a plasma.
It is. And I have the old Vieiras, which were the great Panasonic plasmas, and they've discontinued those. Mm-hmm. Now, some are saying, so what's out there really right now is OLED and LCD, and OLED is prohibitively expensive still.
It's coming down, but it's, yeah.
LCD is kind of the technology that they're really pushing. They're pushing 4K.
Right.
And then this quantum dot. Now, I'm going to read you. This is what Wikipedia says quantum dot is. It's a nanocrystal made of semiconductor material small enough to exhibit quantum mechanical properties. Its excitons are confined in all three spatial dimensions.
Okay.
I wish my excitons were confined.
Did Jordy LaForge write this article? Is that what happened here?
This is the Marvel Universe of television. Like, you just start coming in and telling me about quantum phasons and protons. I don't care about, like, the only TV that I even care about, which I don't know why I do, because I hate Sony TVs anymore, but I want a Sony TV, because now I can put my PlayStation on my Sony without having a PlayStation in the room with the PlayStation.
Sony made the first quantum dot TVs, the XBR, in 2013.
Because that's why I don't buy Sony anymore. Sony's always first with this, this Space Edge magical Ninja Turtle thing.
Yeah.
And guess what? The quality of the image that you put to the TV is the same quality of the image you put to the TV. So unless I got quantum physics DVDs or Blu-rays, what's the difference going to be for this television? And what is it going to do for me with my crappy Verizon Fios cable that's pushing out 720p on 80% of the channels?
Right.
I can't take it.
That's the problem with the 4K stuff. It's the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's a 4K TV. What can I put on it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So the upshot of quantum dots, according to Scott Wilkinson, is blacker blacks, better contrast ratios, more even lighting. But the proof will be in the pudding when we see the quantum dot TVs this year, and he'll have the reviews of that. We also expect more OLEDs and lower-priced OLEDs. But that's it. I think those are the two technologies that are survivors.
I think the way the quantum dot technology works is that every show that's possibly on your screen is on your screen in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
And then one of them is the one you see.
Yeah. That's good. I'll take that.
It's all parallel universe.
Yeah.
Now.
It does sound, you're right, Owen, a little bit like a marketing term.
Well, they're trying so hard to find a way to get, everybody bought an HD TV in the last 10 years, and those don't turn over. TVs don't turn over very fast. And all those companies are like, God, what do we do now to sell new TVs? And they still haven't really figured it out.
The best thing they could do to sell new TVs is say, hey, we sold you a crappy TV last year. Trade it in with us. We'll give you this new TV for three-quarters of the price.
Wouldn't that
be
nice?
Because that's the only thing that even makes me because I'm like, I have three 55-inch TVs in my house. My daughter's got a 47-inch in her room. What do you have to do to get me to take it out of her room? You got to take this TV from me, because I'm not going to sell it to my friend for $200 after I spent $1,215 on it. Like, what do you do with all these TVs? You keep them. Because they're still good. So a buyback program, people, that's how you get me to buy a new TV.
It's like
you
selling mattresses.
Yes.
We'll take your old mattress away. We promise.
Exactly.
We should explain that while you're – so this is in a way, this is your preparation for what you're about to hear all week. Is people – quantum dot. It's not – it's still an LCD.
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of backlight. And maybe it'll be better, maybe not. It's an LED backlight. It's light-emitting semiconductor nanocrystals.
Somebody watched Guardians of the Galaxy this summer like everybody else did, and they wrote a pamphlet on the TV.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
we'll wait with interest to see what those look like. Autonomous vehicles. Wearables probably will be big. They were big last year, but they were all horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now we're in the second or third generation of wearables. I think Android Wear has come a long way. But just like previous CESs, Apple's not there except in spirit. In 2010 at CES, all they could talk about was the iPad. In 2007 at CES, all they could talk about was the iPhone. This year, it's going to be iWatch, Apple Watch. What is Apple going to do? And here's everything that we can think of on the shelf, and we just hope that, you know. I feel like Android Wear is pretty close. There will not be a new Pebble this year at CES, I'm told. I'm wondering if they're kind of sliding behind a little bit.
LG has a really nice watch that they're putting out. I forget what it's called, but that LG watch looks really nice. And
not the G Watch R, the round one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
that looks nice.
That's a pretty watch.
And it doesn't have that stupid thing like the it doesn't have the flat tire.
We call that the flat tire. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horrible.
I don't mind it. You know, I have a flat tire. Everybody talks about the flat tire. Like here, I have a Tag here. What do you say? How do you pronounce that?
Tag Heuer.
Watch Hoyer. Face. But of course, unlike any Tag, there's this little black bar at the bottom.
But does the black bar do anything for you? Like, do you swipe up with it? Does
it move? No.
It's just because they couldn't fit it.
I want full value for my money, mm-hmm. okay? I don't want a watch with a 10% of it missing. I want the whole service of my watch. That's like it. The new watches.
You know what you have to do with the design watch faces? You have to take the six off.
See, that's horrible. Look at that. Look, that's sell that watch on eBay right now. Go get an LG.
There's no six allowed. I still, this watch, in terms of pure utility, it doesn't bother me. I can live with it.
You can call me and I'll tell you what time it is.
You know what this does that the Apple? You know what it does? Hey, Owen, what time is it?
It is not 6 o'clock because you wouldn't know if I didn't tell you.
You know what this watch does that the Apple Watch won't do? Maybe you know better, Jason, because you cover Apple pretty closely. Will it have these kinds of different watch faces?
Yes.
It will. Okay.
Yeah.
But they'll all come from Apple, I'm guessing.
I think there's either they promised a face builder kit or there is one. But yeah, I think
the only reason they might not want to do that is that Google's getting in trouble for allowing Tag Heuer. This is obviously fake. I can also get a Rolex.
Yeah, well, and Pebble had that same problem.
Right,
but no, Apple's got some that Apple's got a whole bunch of faces that they've obviously licensed.
Yeah.
And I think there's a third-party program for that, too. But, yeah, you know, it's Apple. They're going to have to approve it, and they'll probably say, you know, make sure that you have the rights to
this intellectual property. I like the idea of taking pirated. I mean, nobody's going to – nobody's going to say, oh, Leo, you got a Tag Heuer. They know it's a fake watch face.
Right. I guess I would say if I'm Tag Heuer, I might want to make a really good face for these things.
Yeah, Rolex. Yeah,
yeah. I had a Domo face for my Pebble for ages that was totally not licensed.
And they
finally did one that was licensed, and it's great. Or they licensed that one.
What else will CES bring us? By the way, it's not the Consumer Electronics Show. Again this year, they reminded journalists, CES doesn't stand for anything.
It's like DVD.
Just remember. and you're supposed to say international.
International CES. Yes.
What else will international CES bring us?
Doesn't stand for anything. It'll fall for anything.
How about home automation? Apple, again, this is an area where Apple, we're pretty sure, is going to do an Apple TV that will be a hub. The Dish folks, EchoStar, has already announced that just as they introduced Hopper, which kind of revolutionized DVRs a couple of years ago with a giant inflatable kangaroo, they plan to do something called Sage, which is a home automation hub along with your DVR and set-top box. So they own Slingbox, they have Dish, and they're going to use this Sage platform, I presume Hopper as well, to do home automation. I think home automation, I'm sending Father Robert over to the home automation pavilion this year because I have a feeling that in years past has been disappointing because you got all these different standards, nothing talks to anything else. Samsung's going to introduce appliances that talk to its smart things hub this year, so you can tell your dishwasher, hey, wash those dishes. I'm on my way home. I don't know why you'd want to do that.
I don't know either.
Because people are lazy, and they want things timed out, right? I want to get home and have my dishes warm, Leo. I have my home automated, and I do it the exact way you just said not to. All my stuff is separate. I got a Nest.
Yeah.
I've got an Iris thing from Home Depot. I've got Philips Hue lights. I've got a thing from my – like, you know why? Because I don't want these robots taking over me. I don't want to go and get Samsung Smart Home, and then Samsung comes and says, get the heck out of your house. We own it now. And I'm like, wait a second. What happened? Like,
it's actually good. If you're worried about Skynet, it's good if the robots don't talk.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. I want to control the lights. Yeah. I want to control the heat. I don't want the heat to talk to the lights, thinking that they're doing something without me knowing.
But what if
that's not cool?
What if the heat and the lights hate each other, and like the lights turn on and try to heat things up to get the heat to shut off? And you could have a robot war in your house.
In your home.
Then I can sit back and enjoy the show. But I just know one thing. One person ain't going to take. You know that one commercial they got with the robot that's the thing, and they're trying to turn you into home automation, but the robot's creepy?
Yeah.
Like they're in the bedroom. Like that's the problem.
Unless you get
one system that takes everything, that robot's just like, what do you mean you're going to replace me? And that's not the situation.
Oh my God, you're right. You're right. We should cripple these guys and not let them talk together because they might plot.
They might plot.
You know what's going to... Here's a picture
cars
from...
Cars are driving themselves. Robots are making you drinks. They're making that microwave thing from Star Trek to like just magically 3D printers food now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, Leo.
I want my Hue lights to talk to my Nest thermostat, to talk to my Sonos speakers, to talk to my set-top box, to talk to my alarm sensors, my lights out front. I think they should all talk together.
All right.
That's right. Yeah. That was Dr. Morbius reminds us of the very good sci-fi story. I think it was Ray Bradbury, There Will Come Soft Rains. Do you remember that? When the house takes over, it's computer-controlled house. Oh, that's a great... And that was 2026.
There's
only 11 years from now.
Right. So in the next 5 or 10 years, this stuff will become more interrelated and that'll be useful. And then in about 11 years, it'll kill us. But for the next 10, it'll be pretty sweet. Be pretty sweet that my Nest knows, whether I'm in the house or not. Let's and the lights can turn themselves on and off.
Enjoy it for now. We know it's over soon anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, in There Will Come Soft Rains, the house does everything. It's actually very kind of beautiful. The house is working and cooking stuff. But soon you realize there's no people. Mm. And then he goes to the outside of the house and you see the silhouettes of the family burned in the paint because they were killed in a nuclear war. But the house lives on.
Ooh.
It's a wonder. That's, if you haven't read that story,
spoilers.
I did
for
just
Ray
spoil
Bradbury.
It, but it's a great story. So here's something very exciting. Sony Walkman. Big banner out front of the CES hall. Sony's bringing back the Walkman for CES.
Is it like Zune's older cousin?
Well, they did a Walkman. We had it for review on Before You Buy this year that does HD tracks, which is nice. It does the high-res music. I don't know. I don't know what this does. As you could see the on the left a gold headphone jack. And there's the Walkman logo. Isn't that great?
Unless it's super small and it fits on like my wrist or my shoulder for the gym, what is the point? I have a phone.
Yeah, I don't know what the point is.
My phone plays music. Every phone plays music.
Right. That's what happened to the iPod.
Exactly. So what is the point of this and why did you do it? I'd rather you bring out a tape deck and do something nostalgic for me as opposed to that.
What's funny is that Sony does make phones, right? I mean, it's not like they don't have the Xperia. Here's the video.
They're making pretty cool phones.
This is called Welcome to the New World. And she's riding in an elevator, but the elevator is going up, and she's licking a lollipop. Wait a minute, is that Android 5? But no, here's music and sound, and then there's a lizard. 5. Brilliance. The Eiffel Tower. Shadows. Hands. Rainbows. Double rainbow. Iris. Eyeball. Eyeball looking. What's the eyeball seeing? It looks like a Walkman. Now she's smiling. Now her hair's standing up on her arm. Oh my God, she's crying!
It's so beautiful.
That's a giant belly and a small child. That used to be his home. Now he lives in a curtain. Welcome to the new world, Sony.
I think we just got programmed to kill ponies or something. I don't know what that video did. That was a college student.
Oh, my God. What
did that video did absolutely nothing for me but made me hate Sony and the fact that it ended with Sony on it. Like, you put a small child on a baby's belly. That was the only nice thing in that video. I had to feel some kind of redemption in my heart. Just stupid. Who pays for this stuff? Call me, Sony.
Sony pays a lot.
I was going to say, that video proves JJ's whole theory about how our world is about to come to an end, actually. That's a little portrayal of the machine-controlled future we all can look forward to.
I really feel like something bad should happen. Like, I feel like I just got programmed to do something.
There was subliminal messages.
Little blip in there, yep.
Yeah. I wouldn't do this to arrest for kicking ponies.
Shave your head. Okay, right? Just like that.
Well, you guys are more susceptible to the brainwave.
Shave your head.
Mind control.
You're the only guy with hair on this show.
That's right.
I'm scaring the children now. We are...
That video scared the children.
Yeah.
Really, though. I mean, what did that have to do with anything?
It's visionary.
Anything. The new world of what? Rainbows? We haven't had rainbows?
Rainbows. Rainbows.
And at the end, there's a Sony Walkman.
Yeah. At the end of all that.
There was a Sony Walkman? I didn't even see it.
No, there wasn't. No. Actually, there was...
That's going to be the big reveal.
In the reflection of her eye... If you looked, I'm not kidding. If you looked very closely, you could see that little Walkman in the reflection of her.
Like I said,
that's why she was crying.
Yeah,
because Sony still hasn't got anything new for 2015.
Because nobody buys.
Sony's a troubled company, actually, financially.
I told you a couple weeks ago. Sony's a big, big trouble. Big, big trouble.
You heard it here first, folks. Sell your Sony stock. Is Sony a stock? I don't know. We're the wrong
sell your metaphorical.
Sell if you had Sony stock. Yeah. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more. Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, Doctor is here. Wake up.
I'm upset about this video.
You're so relaxed. Hey, by the way, I saw the beautiful pictures on Instagram. You got to follow Odoctor on Instagram of your daughter playing. Because we sent you, last time you were on, we had the Little Bits kit, and we sent you one, and you gave it to her for Christmas, huh?
Yes.
You cheap
she loves
bastard.
It.
All right, so.
I upgraded, okay?
Oh, good.
You guys sent me money.
You got more.
And I doubled. I doubled what you gave
nice.
Me so I could get her more.
Because what she did, she made like, what did she do? What was thing?
The first project that she wanted to do, they show you how to make a hand buzzer. Actually, the first thing she made was the feather, because we actually bought feathers. We bought their kit, and it came with all the little extra stuff.
Yeah.
So she made the tickler, but then she made a hand buzzer where you shake the hand, and it makes a buzzing sound. But on her own, she attached a light to it and then drew it up her sleeve, and then she put it in her hair. So when she buzzed, it made the buzz sound, and her hair lit up. So I was like, man, she is doing it.
How old is she?
She's 7, and she did it all by herself.
Oh, yeah, like, that's so cute. 7 years old.
Happy.
Go down her arm a little bit there. You can't see it because of the – yeah, look, there's all the little bits.
So then when she put her – this was the test run, but after that we put it underneath of her sleeve and it ran up through her hair and she just ran around her friends. I was like, shake my hand.
Awesome. There is hope for the children of the future. I love it. Well, I'm glad. That's great. Also here, Jason Snell, his new venture, sixcolors.com. How many podcasts are you doing?
It's so many, too many to count.
I love them.
About 4 a week.
That's great. That's great.
It's nothing compared to you.
But no, but I'm thrilled for you. I think that's wonderful. Yeah, just starting. Exactly. Yeah. We are brought to you today by the great Lynda.com. A great time in this new year to start and invest in yourself and learn some new skills, some creative skills or some business skills. Kickstart your new year. And I've got something brand new for you. A free 10-day trial to Lynda.com. Millions of people, including us, use Lynda.com. To train, to learn, to expand our horizons. 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography. Some of my best friends my best photographer friends teach at Lynda.com. Visual design, business, software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. Burt Monroy teaches Photoshop at Lynda.com. I'll give you an idea. Dan Gooden there, who's great, teaching programming. I mean, that gives you some idea of what you're getting at Lynda.com. These aren't just great teachers, exciting, inspiring people. These are people who are actually doing it, who are out there, who are in the real world using these tools, and they're passing their knowledge on to you. When I see somebody like Burt Monroy giving away all his secrets, I just go, yay, Burt. You rock. You are, and it's so great. The Photoshop CC Essential Training, great way to start. In business, managing your time, they have a really good time management course. Code Clinic, it's a great series where every month Lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions using different programming languages. Even if you're not, you know, an adept coder, this is so much fun. We use Lynda.com, you know, to teach. All our editors are using Premiere. So they're learning at Lynda.com. You can learn Final Cut too. Do something good for yourself for 2015. Sign up for our free 10-day trial, lynda.com/twit. This is the new trial, lynda.com/twit2. With your membership, you get unlimited access to every course, so you could take them all, well, as many as you can in 10 days, including iOS and Android access on your portable devices, your mobile phones. And new courses are added every week, and you get access to them, too. lynda.com/twit2, 10 days free. Go ahead. I challenge you. Learn something new. Look, I shaved my head. I learned something new. Now it's time for you to learn something new at Lynda.com. I don't think they have, like, how to care for your shaved head on Lynda.com. Owen, you should teach that class.
I should teach that class. I'll call you up and we'll do a practice run. Make sure you don't cut yourself. You're not trying to shave again.
I'm not going to shave again. I just want to keep the darn thing from hurting and being cold. I understand hats. I had no idea how much hair does for your head. It keeps you warm. It keeps the sun off. I could see now. I completely understand. I'm Breaking Bad. Why Bryan Cranston, after he had his chemo and he lost his hair, he went out and got the pork pie hat. That wasn't an affectation. You need it.
Oh, Leo, the way you just took your hat off, you look like a stooge. There you go.
I definitely have the curly look at this point. Wow. Wow. Burke says hair is a hat.
Oh, yeah. Side note. People keep yelling at me because my website's down. Yes, my website's down because I'm in a heated evil battle with GoDaddy, and I'm trying to escape the evil clutches.
Oh,
and it is not a good situation right now.
Get rid of GoDaddy.
I've got like two domains that they do not want to let go, and I can't.
I know. Hover.com, man. Get on over there.
As soon as I get free, I will be going somewhere. But they act like they can't get a hold of my account. They can't find it because they want to sell my domain. Like
I know. Aren't they terrible?
It's an issue. And I've got like 30 things hosted with them, and they want two. I know that there's two that they want, and that's why they won't let me transfer everything. So I don't know what I got to do.
Is it like a really good name? Do you have like, you know?
It's my daughter's first name. Oh. I have Leah.com.
Neat.
Yeah.
Why would they want that? It.
I don't know. Someone wants it. I've had people offer me $25,000 for it so far.
Oh, so it's their daughter's name too.
Or it's that chick from, it's a Disney chick named Leah, I think, that wants it.
Oh, sure.
Somebody powerful wants it, and they're just, like, not playing games with me. Like,
that's
it's weird.
That's exactly it.
I'm going to focus next week on getting it fixed because I can't stand it anymore.
Compo Simonite says, if you and I stood next to each other, we'd be two-thirds of a pawn shop sign. Moving right along. Did you guys have a good Christmas and New Year's? Did you have a good holiday season? So did Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
This kind of surprised me. Flurry does these measurements. Actually, I didn't know Yahoo owns Flurry now.
Yeah, all those guys got bought up.
Flurry was, you probably covered them for years. Tell me what Flurry did. What are they?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing they did is you would embed their code in your app, and it was like, you know, you go to a website and there's a little thing in the code that
they give you
metrics. That pings Google Analytics, and you can know how many page views you got. Yeah. Well, this was that for apps. So Flurry would be integrated into an app, and then basically when you launch it, and people don't know this necessarily, it would phone home. It would like ping their server and say, I just got launched, or I just tapped this button, or my, you know, last time I launched, I crashed. So the developers can see who's using your app, how often they're using it, all the stuff that the app platform itself doesn't or didn't offer you. So
Flurry has now more than 600,000 apps doing the analytics. So that's a pretty good sample, I would guess. Are they as strong in Android as they are on iOS? I guess they certainly have some clients on both sides.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that Google has started to put in their developer tools. Because that's the next trend is to actually build this stuff into the tools.
Presumably they've normalized for the Android versus iOS balance. But according to Flurry, the top five device activations by manufacturer, and this I think is global, 51% of all device activations December 19th through Christmas Day, 51% were Apple, iPads, and iPhones. Only 17.7% Samsung. The real surprise here is Sony and LG, but the Nokia, which is a Windows phone platform, 5.8%. They're in there. They're number three. They're not huge, but that's still pretty good.
Last year, it was the issue of, for example, my friend, who's not really a tech person, the father had an iPad, but he bought the whole family Kindle Fires. The wife and his three kids, he bought them a Fire HD.
What?
This Christmas, he went out and bought the wife and all three of those kids' iPads and didn't even do anything with the Kindle Fires. He just kept them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's like, I made a big mistake. He's like, they were only $100.
Wow.
I thought that it wouldn't matter, but it matters. And I had to go and get the things for the apps for the kids. So people realize like, I can get these cheap Nokia, Windows, whatever, because some people can't afford $400 for an iPad. And then a year later, they're going to be like, holy smokes, I met somebody with an iPad, and I can't. This is not the life I want to lead.
How much of that, though, is that the kids are very brand aware? It would be like if you gave them Air Jordans and they wanted,
the
Air Force Ones.
The kids are brand aware when it comes to, I can go play with Osmo on my friend's iPad, and they don't make it for, they don't have that for this? Well, what, Dad, how come I don't have, why did you give me this thing, Dad? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do what my friends do. Well,
but doesn't it? Come on. You can watch movies. You play games.
Yeah, if the dad had an iPad, that means they've been probably using games on his iPad.
Right.
And even if they could get some of those games on those Kindle Fires. They have to buy them again, which means probably dad didn't say, oh, I'll just buy all those apps again for you kids. I got to buy them again.
Let's point out that it's that's barrier. $400 more for the iPad than it was for the Fire. I mean, each.
It is. I have a Fire and I have a Samsung Tab 3. My iPad's just faster. It's just better. Yeah. And it's not. That's not saying anything about brand awareness. It's just better. And when apps come out, they come out three times sooner for iPhone or iPad than it does any other device. And it usually is not as buggy. Like, I don't know. There's pros and cons because I like a lot of the free stuff you can get, like on my Android.
But Android has a ton of free apps. Same. In fact, replacing your iPad apps on your Android device. There, yes, admittedly, are some gaps, but most of them you can.
No, that you can. I'm talking about
Often it's not much more expensive, especially now with freemium.
No, I just meant from Amazon. Like going from Amazon to an iPad, it's a whole new world.
I have to admit, going from the Android store to the Amazon store is a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So iPad Mini 2 is $299, and that's actually a really
good
that's
choice.
That's last year's Retina model, but it's a good, that's what I still use.
So it's only three times more expensive.
Yeah, it's more expensive, but you know.
As long as you don't get the 16 gig version, I mean, who's going to do anything with that? I mean,
that's
the updates,
true too.
You'll be down to 3 gigs by the time.
In fact, a lot of people couldn't go to iOS 8 because they had 16 gig devices and there wasn't enough free space. Nope. So Flurry does say that the reason you pay attention to the Christmas buying week is – in the Christmas present opening week in Hanukkah this year, present opening week, is because that's a bellwether for the rest of the year.
Interesting.
You can kind of tell what's going to happen. Here's an interesting graph that's a little hard to read. This is by screen size.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll describe this for you looking at home, and I'll try to get this kind of describe this in some way that people listening can understand it. It shows 3 years, 2012, 2013, and 2014. In 2012, 16% of the devices that were activated were full-size tablets. This year, 11%. Small tablets had 17% of the market in 2012. This year, 11%. Phablets, the giant phones, went from 3% to 13%. Medium phones, I guess that would be 5-inch phones, 58% to 64%. And then the small phones, which were 7% of the market of the new activations in 2012, probably iPhone. Let's see, 2012 would be the iPhone 4S. Is that right?
Five.
Right. 7% down to 2% this year. So I think the takeaway here is that the growth area is in this big phone.
Well, I think it's
tablet.
You're looking at percentage of distribution. So I think what we know about the tablet market is it's roughly flat. So it's not actually going from 16 and 17 to 11 and 11, but that's how much more the phone market is growing than the tablet market.
So right? Sales aren't down, they're just not growing.
We're going to assume that maybe the tablet sales are flat or up slightly or maybe down slightly, but something in there. But on the phone side, phone sales just continue to grow. That trajectory, it just hasn't stopped. And we see now that phablet sales seem to be way up and that medium phone sales just keep motoring along.
Yeah. Yep. People want big phones. Between medium and giant phones, that's 77% of all activations. That's a big chunk, three quarters of all activations.
Also, again, what I'm talking about, people don't have money. So a lot of my friends bought the 6 Plus because they couldn't. They were like, oh, I always wanted a tablet or an iPad, but I couldn't justify spending $500 on it. But you go and get a 128 plus 6, now you feel like you got yourself an iPad too, and it's your phone. So it's like an all-in-one purchase that cuts down on a lot of overlap for regular consumers.
Yeah, we heard I was talking to somebody at Apple when the new phones were announced, who said very much the same thing, that they found is there are lots of markets where, you know, the people who buy the big phone, it's their only a mobile device, and in some cases it's their only computing device.
Right.
You know, they don't even have in some places in this world, they don't have a computer, they don't have a tablet.
They've got
a phone, and if you've only got one device, make it a big one.
Yep.
Right? And you need it to be a phone.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a big phone.
Big change in music as well. According to Nielsen SoundScan, streaming music in 2014 grew, streaming, not downloads, streaming grew 54%. Spotify, RDO, Rhapsody, moving from 106 billion songs in 2013 to 164 billion in 2014. Traditional song downloads dropped as well. Paid downloads for full albums declined 9%. Individual songs, 12%. Although, 257 million albums sold in 2014, 106 million downloaded digitally.
I think this is going to be one of those roller coaster moves, because I remember distinctly reading something about 4 weeks ago. One, Taylor Swift dropped all of her stuff off of Spotify, right. And then her record was like the number one breaking record, blah, 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 because people couldn't get it anymore, so they had to actually buy it. Two, Pharrell got a check for $3,000 for like 180 million plays of Happy on Pandora. Like, and I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah. So he pulled it off of Pandora. And I'm like, well, how does that work if you're not getting paid the money? Like, you know, and Spotify is quick to say, well, we spend 95% of our money paying royalties. Well, if those royalties are coming out to $3,000 checks because you got hundreds of thousands of artists, that doesn't mean anything to the artists when they could have got somebody to buy it for 99 cents. He could have sold more Happies for 99 cents than the $3,000 check he got from Pandora.
See, well, this is, I think, the greatest threat to the music streaming services is they're going to turn into Netflix. If Taylor, and I'm not saying this will happen, but it's the fear, is that more artists, A-list artists like Taylor Swift, are not going to play ball with them. And then we're going to get into the situation like there are not new releases on Netflix. In fact, there are not new home video releases on Netflix. Right. You have to wait for that after you get off of everything they're selling and renting. Everything goes on pay cable. It eventually comes to Netflix. If that's what happens with the music services, where they've got the catalog, but nothing from the last year.
Here's the risk
there. That would be a big problem.
I think the music and the movies are very different. So first of all, a couple of points. Pandora is not the same as Spotify.
Right.
Pandora is a radio station. So I would bet the Pandora royalties are a lot closer to radio royalties in the sense that it's a discovery medium. Now, the record companies don't like this. They've always said, oh, no, no, internet will never be like radio. Radio is where people discover music, which, of course, if that's their current plan, they may want to rethink that. So I think Pandora is, because you don't control what you hear.
Right.
You say, I want a station, and you're going to get what you get. So it's discovery, much like radio. You didn't control what you hear, but you'd have a sound style that you'd pick the country station or the progressive station. Second, I would point out that it's music sales are driven by the new stuff, right? And if you don't get discovered, that album is going to tank. There's no catalog if the album wasn't popular when it came out.
Right.
So it's really, music has a long tail in the way I think probably movies don't. And discovering and getting excited about an album when it comes out is critical to the long-term success of that album, I would guess.
I don't know. I think they're a little more similar than that. I think, you know, but I'm not saying that they're right, that the way that it works with Netflix is even right, right? I mean, we can make the arguments that movies should be come out day and date on video on demand, like The Interview did.
Right.
And that this is all artificial. But I just, when I see Taylor Swift withholding her album and selling well, it does make you wonder if something's going to have to give in the relationship between the artist and the streaming services.
But that's a unique situation where she has such a strong community that the demand is so high for whatever she puts out that works for her. It's not going to work for a new artist at all.
I agree about that.
People aren't going to want their music either because they're new artists. But established artists that are going to demand that market is a huge issue for that. You know, when you say the new people, they want to be on everything. They want to be on your mom's radio station, anywhere they can possibly be because they're new. But established people, when they pull their product off, or when Jay-Z goes and makes an exclusive deal with Samsung and says, anybody who buys this phone gets my album, and then he sells 5 million albums in one day because people bought the phone. Like, there's a lot of moves for artists to do that don't include a Spotify or Beats royalty check.
Why did Taylor Swift not pull her videos off of YouTube, do you think?
Well, those are all through Vivo. I mean, they're monetized. There's ads in front of them. So she is actually making money on plays.
Yes.
I'd like to see how much money. You know what I'm saying? And I would like to see what her contracts are and what her contract says about Pandora versus YouTube. I think there's – or Pharrell. I think I think the labels have something to do with this as well.
Sure. There's no doubt.
I just played Shake It Off. I don't see an ad.
Yeah,
it started. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's because I pay for YouTube for Google All Access, so I don't get an ad. But I give her $8 a month. But that's the same. Isn't that the same I'm paying to Spotify? It's actually a little less,
right?
So I just, I think that this is complicated. Bob Leftsitz, who is an industry analyst and an observer, and often I think very right on, says this, and I wonder what you guys think. The prediction for 2015. The major labels will only get stronger. We live in a money economy, and the only ones willing to invest in artists are the labels. Furthermore, they've got the relationships at radio, which are key to developing acts. The players want cash. The major labels have it. No one else will get involved because the returns are so bad. The majors have gotten a second wind. They have adapted to the internet. All the hogwash about disruption was just that. He says, it may not be forever, but it's certainly for now. You agree? Now, this is a guy, this is what he does for a living. So he,
yeah.
But he's also old school. And I just think that that may be true if your model is the old model of superstar artist producing record, LP. What do they call it now?
Yeah. Music.
Album.
Record's fine. Just keep a record.
It's not a record, though.
The world bends to us, Leo. We don't bend to the world.
So artist record. Produces music, sells it as a album like Taylor did with 1989. Right. You know, they hate singles sales. They want to sell the whole album. And the record labels somehow have marketing clout. Radio play, I don't know how important that is, but they somehow have marketing clout.
Well, you got to discover it somewhere. I wonder.
I think there's a different model. There's a model like a Jonathan Colton or Pamplemousse, where these are artists, unsigned artists, who market using social media very effectively. Actually, by the way, Taylor may be giving her record label more credit than it deserves. She does the best marketing I've ever seen on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else. Sure. Brilliant social marketing.
But the Jocos of the world are not, you know, they're I think, a great little niche group of artists, but that's not the same as I got a 13-year-old daughter. How does she find
music? Well, how does
music?
She find?
Well, some of it's Pandora, actually. I think
Pandora is important.
But when we have satellite radio in the car, and she will turn it to one of the hits, the pop hit stations, the New York or LA pop hit stations. And so I think it's a little bit of both. So I think there is still some radio, believe it or not. And then the rest
it's
of
satellite,
it is.
Satellite, but that counts.
But it's a lot of discovery. And then she will go on Spotify and listen to stuff that she discovers. But discovery is step one. And I think that's where this prediction about the labels is true, is to break through the noise and reach a 13-year-old or a 15-year-old with a new artist takes money, because you got to find them who knows where.
You don't think it takes skill on YouTube and Instagram? And I mean, you got to build
that's
word
another
mouth.
Way. That's another way to do
I
it.
I feel like there's got to there is another avenue.
There are many paths.
Every once in a while, I got to remind you that you live in a bubble of technology, okay? Most of the world.
You live in New Jersey, so.
I live in the real world, Leo. I'm out here in these streets with these people living this dream, crawling through the mud. I understand. Most people don't. I have satellite radio. Most people get in my car like, wow, what's this? I'm like, a satellite.
Yeah, I don't think satellite's that user. What do you, but what do you think?
It's a radio station.
What do kids in your world, how do they discover music?
Most people listen to the radio still. They still listen to the radio. And you know what else is really huge? YouTube. You know what? First time I heard Shake It Off, I saw four stay-at-home moms posted up Shake It Off that day.
That's what I think.
I guess I'm shaking it off. And then they put up whatever they put up those songs because they want to share them with their other.
That's right.
It's good for your daughter. It's good for your son.
That's right.
So there's a lot of ways to discover, but the radio is still huge.
Yeah, I agree.
Huge. You know why? Because it's free. And if it's free, it's for most people.
My kids don't even have a radio.
But not everybody's balling out of control with money.
Where are you listening to the radio?
See, every car's got radio, Leo. Every car.
But are people listening in the car?
This is what I found with my daughter. And like I said, if we didn't have the satellite radio, she'd be listening to the local hit station anyway. Right. There are fewer channels. It's easier for her to find the hits on the satellite radio. But bottom line is she's listening to the radio. I don't listen to the radio. I mean, we have satellite radio. I'm an 80s on 8 kind of guy. I have to admit it. Lots of 80s music. But my daughter's like, forget that. And she turns it to the hits. She's listening to the hits. So radio is still a thing. And YouTube, you're totally right. YouTube is a thing. We talk about Taylor Swift not putting her album on streaming. I mean, not only did she put Shake It Off on YouTube with the video, but Shake It Off was on streaming. Because what is that? That's a teaser for her album. That's the first single off the album. And then you want to hear more?
And
go
buy
the album. That's right.
I think that I guess what I would say is that there are many routes now.
There are
more
many.
Than ever before. Reliance on the big labels is probably foolish, especially if you're an up and coming young band, right?
There are a lot of people who are doing it independently because they don't want to be in that debt of working to deal with the devil. But at the same time, if you think that you can get over the hump with a little bit of help, because a lot of people are tricked into one-hit wonders. They come in, they shovel all this money at the radio stations, they put it out there, they put a blitz out. You buy this person's album and you never hear from them again.
Right.
But they made a little bit of money off the person, so there's still a market for it, there's still a place for it, and the digital world we live in is a special world, and there are some people that are rocking it very well.
Yeah.
It's complicated. It's hard.
It's much more complicated than it was.
Totally.
Yes. And there's more avenues. There's more options.
I do feel like YouTube is really important. I watch my kids, and that's really where they see stuff. And it's social sharing, word of mouth is still the best way, right? You learn from your friends who, you know,
you hear them singing it. I hear my daughter singing stuff, and I'm like, what song is that? And I'm like, what?
And I think if you were to rely on the major labels and radio, you would get what pop music is, which is a lot of crap. Now, I feel like that's not the best music being made out there right now. Or is it?
It is very repetitive. Because I still listen to radio. It is excessively repetitive. But I do use it for discovery. Because sometimes I just turn it on. It on 9 o'clock. On 9 o'clock at night, Power 99 does the top 10 songs. And when I'm in the car at 9 o'clock, I think, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I should go listen to what the top 10 songs are
Do kids have Spotify accounts nowadays? Do they have streaming accounts?
My daughter has Pandora.
She has Pandora. Okay.
My daughter has. I buy all my free music. Spotify and Pandora. Yeah.
Okay. Free Spotify.
Yeah. Everybody, we've gone back and forth between
everybody
the free
can
and the
have
pay,
free Spotify. Yeah. Sure. I feel like that you can use that for discovery very well. They have Explorer. They have new stuff.
I don't know. Pandora is pretty great at. I mean, like I have to regulate how much I use Pandora because, as somebody who still buys music, I listen to Pandora for a couple of days and I bought like way too much because I discovered it. It's great for discovery. It's dangerous.
Be another Beatles ever? Could there be another Beatles in this era?
Totally.
Yes.
I mean, look at Taylor Swift is everywhere.
I was
going to
say, Taylor Swift was a Beatle. She broke a lot of records with that album, which was justified her coming off Spotify. When she put on Spotify, everybody's like, this is a huge mistake. Right. You don't know what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, she's breaking all kinds of records, which I know for a fact she wouldn't have broken because, one, people want to rally behind her as much as they did. Right. And two, they had no other place to get her music.
But having a community, having a big supportive community, boy, does that make a difference.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're big or small as an artist, having that audience is you got to find the audience. That's the key to breaking any artist, right? Yeah. You break them by having an audience discover them and love them.
Side note, iTunes Radio isn't terrible either.
It's really good. Yeah. I don't think anybody knows about it.
That's
why Beats is so important to Apple.
What he just brought up is the biggest thing I don't listen to is because it makes me want to buy everything. When I listen to iTunes Radio, I really have to stop myself from pressing that button because I connect to my credit card and it's over.
So
for
dangerous.
Me. Like, that's the one reason I stay out of it, honestly, because I'm like, man, I really like that. What is that? You know, I put lullaby music on for my daughter. They had a Jay-Z lullaby album. Where it's like lullaby, Jay-Z's music, but it's played to like soft piano lullaby. I was like, this is so gangster. And I'm like, why am I buying this? I'm not a child. But it was so cute. It almost got me. I almost spent $14.99 on this Jay-Z lullaby album.
Got a brilliant, and that's where Beats does make sense. You got a brilliant combination. You have free radio with an easy buy button, perhaps a subscription service too. And all of it ties to a store that it's one click and buy.
Yep.
That seems like a good model.
It was a smart purchase. I realized that when they did it. I realized why they were doing it. It wasn't for the headphones. It was more for that because they know more than anyone what their roller coaster ride is as far as people buying music.
Yep.
They have their finger on
the pulse. They saw it coming because 14% drop in iTunes sales this year. They saw it. They knew. They saw the train coming.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was very skeptical, but I didn't understand what was going on in music last year, and it was a big shift towards streaming. All right, we're going to take a break. JJ Owen, JJ Stone, Odakta is here with the website that won't work. Thank you, GoDaddy. And it's from sixcolors.com. Great friend of the network, Jason Snell. Love having you here. Just down the road, he comes up whenever we demand it.
Yep.
You're missing
the
football
game. Button.
You don't care.
You press the red button, and I appear.
JJ, at least you don't have to worry about your Eagles.
I don't. I'm sitting there watching the Cowboys lose, and Jiminy Christmas, they better lose. They're
you do not like those cowgirls, do you?
Oh, no, I don't.
You take – there's another great reason to follow Owen on Instagram. he will – if unless you're unless you're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, my Cowboy bashing is strong. my hatred for the Cowboys is strong.
The Cowboy bashing is strong in this one. Let's see if I can.
You know, I have a friend who's a crazy Eagles fan, and he actually has a second Twitter account for his Eagles rants because everybody followed him was like, why do you go crazy every Sunday? And he's like, well, it's the Eagles. So now he has his Eagles account. You can just follow that.
For 4 hours, you look like a psychopath. Uh-huh. I try to stay off the internet like for reasons like that. because I do realize when I see other people, I'm like, man, this woman, it seems so mild-mannered all week long, and then the Jets come on, it's F this, and F that. I'm like, oh, man, calm down, Grandma.
Does something to people.
This is my favorite one. This was from last October. That's just mean.
The cowgirl.
That's just mean.
Yeah, that was a bad day for me. We beat them. I was loaded for bear. I got a whole folder full of cowgirl stuff for certain occasions to pop up.
As CyberSalt reminds us in the chat room, fan is short for fanatic. Mm-hmm. You know who's fanatical about the servers they run and the service they give you? Those great folks at Squarespace. Absolutely fanatical about having 100% uptime. Nobody can do 100% uptime, but the lengths that the folks at Squarespace go to keep your site fast and flowing. Owen, you got to move here. You're going to love it. Plus, the best software for creating your website, state-of-the-art software. This new Squarespace 7 makes it so easy. You can live edit on one screen, no more preview, site manager preview. You can see how your changes will look on your tablet, on your mobile device, because every single one of their gorgeous designs, there are over 30 of them, is mobile responsive. That means it looks great on every size screen automatically. Plus, now some of the templates are designed for specific professions. If you're a musician, this is a great place to go to make a website to help build that community, or an artist, or an architect, a restaurant, e-commerce. Take a look at the page for musicians. It gives you Aviator. Is that it? No, that's the business template. The musician's template will give you, there it is on the right there. Isn't that it? Yeah. It gives you a shop, as tour dates. It gives you a shop where you can sell your music. It is so cool. I'm such a fan of Squarespace. I know you will be. Cover pages, 10 new templates, perfect for creating. Look at that. You can embed a sound. What is that? SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com into there. It's awesome. Cover pages are great for the personal identity, that single page thing that can be integrated with your website. Google Docs are integrated too. Gmail, Google Docs, Sheets, Drive, Calendar. Squarespace 7 can easily link branded email accounts to your domain as well. And their mobile apps are second to none. The Portfolio, the Note, the Metric, the Blog apps. By the way, Note and Blog are now available on Android as well as iOS. They just keep getting better and better. Look how that looks on a phone. Spectacular. That's what's so great about Squarespace. And if you are a developer, you can do anything. In fact, some of the world's top digital agencies use Squarespace and the developer platform to make sites for their clients. Plus, you get $10 access to Getty Images, e-commerce in every template. Social media is built in. If you're the next Taylor Swift, you got to know about Squarespace.com. Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Facebook, Tumblr, YouTube, Pinterest, and more. And, of course, the best help and support with a really great portal for webinars and information, live chat and email support from their Squarespace offices 24/7. And can you believe it? $8 a month? Plus, that includes hosting, plus the software, and a free domain name when you sign up for a year. $8 a month. But the beauty part of this is Squarespace lets you try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You can start building your website right now. To sign up for Squarespace, all I ask is use our offer code TWIT, and you'll get 10% off, and they'll know that you were here at This Week in Tech. Squarespace.com. By the way, if you're an existing customer, you can go to the Settings tab and activate all the new features in Squarespace 7. With just a click of the mouse. That's really nice. Squarespace.com. Try it free for 2 weeks. If you decide to buy, use TWIT as the offer code. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. If your site were a Squarespace site, I'm just saying. What's the score now?
I'll make one.
20-17.
Leo. 20-17 is close.
It is. It's a little too close.
Oh, and if you want to leave and watch the game, I wouldn't hold it against you.
It's okay. I got multiple screens going on. That's why sometimes I'm not looking you directly in the eye, and I look cross-eyed. I got a monitor over here. I got a screen over here. I got some jellyfish.
Turn your camera around.
Right,
I want to see the setup. I want to see how Owen.
Look, I live in a secret fortress of solitude. You know that. you know I don't put my address out there. That's why I put my fake A16 North Dusty Drive Glass Road address 08028, because that's not my real address. But you can send me free stuff. I'll take it. Can we talk about who hacked Sony now? Can we get close to that story?
This story is the story that just keeps on giving. It's the perfect story for the Christmas season. President Obama and the FBI, I would say somewhat prematurely, announced that it was North Korea. And immediately, every security expert in the world said, what? How could you know so soon? Norse Security is the most recent, norse-corp.com. They met with the FBI. FBI, Norse said, has been very open to the idea of talking to other security firms. So, Norse, this is Norse talking. They said, you know, we called them up and they said, yes, come in and talk to us. Norse says its research leads to laid off Sony staff, not North Korea. Last Monday, the FBI took a 3-hour briefing with Norse. Of course, we've heard many security experts, including the guy at Cloudflare. It was Bruce Schneier as well, who said, I'm not so sure it was North Korea. Almost all of them seem to think it's much more likely an inside job. But here's the problem. And we've said this before. The government, the U.S. government, says we have information we can't share with you because it would compromise our spies, basically, our intelligence operation, to tell you that it's conclusive. And no, and we just, all we can say is, well, okay, because they won't tell us. Do you trust the U.S. government?
I do not trust the U.S. government. They have made major mistakes before, which I won't bring up because I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But I'm just saying somebody told me there were weapons somewhere and there wasn't no weapons there. So they tell me
WMD, secret intelligence. We know.
They want to go to North Korea and mess with some people who can't keep their internet up for 5 minutes after calling Obama a name. I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to tell everybody right now. The person who did this atrocity is Michael Mann. Look him up. Google it. His name is Michael Mann.
What?
If you don't know who Michael Mann is, Google him. You're going to know who Michael Mann is. Michael Mann is the Sony hacker. I know this for a fact. Uncle Leo. You know why?
Wait a minute. He is a director.
The creator of Miami Vice?
He's a director.
He is the director and the screenwriter for Black Hat coming out next month.
Black Hat's coming out next month.
You people keep telling me, oh, it's a thing trying to bring people in to buy. No, nobody wanted to download that stupid movie to interview. That movie ain't nothing. But you know what? A whole lot of people going to be sitting around watching Black Hat. I don't want them to break into nuclear bases, and they're really doing it. They took down Sony. They took down
Xbox. No. So you are going along Black with the people Hat. Who say this was an inside job by Sony to promote a movie.
No, because people who say that are absolutely idiots, and that's why I'm making fun of them. Because why would they release social security numbers of not only employees,
but that would ruin
their business?
Yeah.
That's the best promotion in the world, right? To give out social security numbers, you knucklehead. But I'm just saying, Michael Mann, I look at him specifically.
Can you buy Chris Hemsworth as an elite hacker?
Have you seen the ads for this? It is unlikely. So what Jason is saying is it's cyber warfare between Universal Studios and Sony.
That's what I'm saying. You don't believe it sounds more reasonable than North Korea.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. It sounds a lot more. North Korea, half those people don't have food to eat, okay? So they're too hungry to be looking at computer screens hacking for 18 hours straight to get into something. But Michael Mann, about to make this money. Black Hat.
Yeah.
The sequel is going to be White Hat.
We just want to say that this show is parody, not commentary, that he doesn't really think Michael Mann did it. I'm sorry, Universal. Please don't sue me. And in recompense, here's a trailer for the movie.
For Michael Mann. Producer of Miami Vice, A Tale.
Can I just tell
not
you one thing?
Not set in Miami.
When any movie comes out in January, that's where they bury the worst movies of the year. That's when the stinkers come out.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, don't go see
a
movie.
It's the world's most dangerous hacker.
Chris Hemsworth?
It's Thor.
Thor?
He is so good looking.
Where's his hammer? He is a good looking fella.
You get that good looking when you sit hunched over a computer for 10 or 20 hours a day.
No, he went to prison. He's been lifting. He looks good.
Right?
Bet he's got a prison tat. Like me.
Does he have glasses?
Why does he have glasses? The Matrix.
Yeah, that does not look good. Here's the real question about this movie.
Computer nerds, Uncle Leo, they're not stereotyping.
No, they're good looking. They're sexy.
They can be anything. You know, you never know.
Here's the question, though. How good will the technology be in this? Because, you know, going back to what was that Robert Redford film, Hackers, right? And then Halle Berry and Sneakers. And
no,
it was the other way around.
The other way around, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Halle Berry and Sneakers would have been something, but no, that was Robert Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford and Sneakers. Halle Berry and Hackers.
But the net.
The net.
Sandra Bullock and Dennis Miller.
Terrible technology. Yeah. It was embarrassing. But wait a minute. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back. Let's look at this screen that he's looking at here. Let's see if we can tell. What is that? Because sometimes you can tell. Our good friend John Graham coming. That code. Looks like HTML. I'm sorry. Wait.
Yeah, there's some CSS. He hacks the CSS of the internet.
Oh,
that's what changes everything.
What is he? Okay.
Swordfish.
Okay. Function declaration. Swordfish. That's the
password. The password is swordfish. Very good.
Yeah, we got to look at this. Okay, I want test, compile, and C code.
Angelina,
I want
Jolie
everybody to look at this code and tell us. You know what you should do, and this is what John Graham Cumming does. He Googles the code here, and it's almost always like open source code for a library.
Yep.
Than Linux that does things like, you know, let's Google this code here and find out what it really is from. Because, you know, it's not real, right? Entry point, H instance.
We just did that on The Incomparable. We did an episode about Terminator, and one of our panelists freeze-framed the HD of the Terminator in his eye. And it's like
it's like
test code
from
something. It's just like, whoever wrote that code, congratulations, you're... Crappy test code is immortalized forever in the eye of the Terminator.
Wait a minute. Houdini 7, Craig Mullaney, who wrote Shift Key Software, who wrote our the Twit app,
yes,
says it's his code.
It is. It is. It is his code. It's Shift Key, and it's and it shows
code.
And it shows like 16K of available memory in the Terminator. So that Terminator is super efficient with the code, is what I'm saying.
The
Leo.
They call this, by the way, they call it playback. And an NSA breach. Shocking. And we actually have fans of our shows that do the playback for TV shows. Twit has appeared on The Newsroom and as a tab in the browser on Silicon Valley, because the people who do the playback for those productions snuck it in. So, you know, it's these guys are getting, I think they're getting, they have to get a little bit better.
Well, yeah, they have to up their game. The Terminator, the people who did the Terminator code didn't ever expect that there would be some high resolution format where people would be able to stop a frame and look at the code and say, oh it's that
God,
code.
They're reading the code.
It would be horrible if it actually did something. They would be like, oh, well, you know, we didn't mean to give up, you know, national security on
just
the movie.
Put the Sony employee social security numbers in there.
Yeah.
No one will see it.
I think we just will never probably know the details of the Sony
hack.
I wish we could.
I mean,
but we won't.
I don't think all of these things are mutually exclusive. I think it would be very easy that there was an employee who was upset at the layoffs and stuff at Sony, and that they then approached somebody in a chat room somewhere and said, I have information about these servers and I want to sell it, or I want to give it because I want to hurt them. And then who knows, the people. Who and they were saying maybe it was Russian-speaking people who were...
They did a syntactic analysis of all the text, they said it's much less likely Korean speakers, more likely Russian speakers based on the idioms they used.
But that doesn't preclude it from being that North Korea paid the Russian hackers to take the information from the Sony employee. I mean, it's all... interconnected potentially.
That's why it was a little.
Spy went to Russia,
like a man,
contacted the person who got fired, and then released the information. Right. We all know how that works.
It's a little. That's why it was a little shocking for the security community when the U.S. government so quickly, within weeks,
very quickly,
it's North Korea. They said you can't know. You just could not know that fast unless they had signals intelligence. Maybe they've got a tap on Kim Jong Un's phone. And he said, well, we got him good. What was good? Wasn't that as good? And by the way, I saw the interview. Terrible movie. Maybe that's the smoking gun. We don't know. But
he called Putin and said, that was totally me. I did that.
I did it. And maybe he was lying, right? Maybe he was boasting to Putin. It's so hard to know this. There is a scenario because we do know that Sony Pictures Entertainment was hacked in the spring, in March, and decided to ignore the hack. And not announce it, not tell anybody. It could very well be that the initial attack got in, then collected passwords and server names, you know, walking around the network, and crafted a targeted attack, which then was launched later in September. Mm-hmm. So it's complete. I mean, there's lots of scenarios you can think up. It's a question mark, and I would love to know what happened, but I don't think we'll ever know. It doesn't seem sensible, and this is what many people have said. That if a government like North Korea had this trove of information, that they would just give it away. It seems much more likely that they would use it for propaganda purposes over time than they would just say, here's a paste bin. Here's a torrent. Have fun. Have at it. However, job done. They embarrassed Sony, but the movie got released. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't pay for it, but I saw it.
Yeah, it's fine. Neither did the North Korea. What did you think?
My friend liked it, and I just, the more he laughed at it, the more I didn't laugh. There were like three funny parts in it.
We saw them all in the trailer, didn't we?
Pretty much. Like, they hate us because they ain't us. They just peanut butter and jealous.
Really? Those are the jokes?
Yeah. Like, they hate us because they ain't us. No one says that. They hate us because they ain't us. Say it. Like,
it's, they hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah. There's a tiger in it. That was funny. But, I mean,
I'm told Mike Elgin and his wife saw it, and they said that the woman who played the Korean interpreter was very funny.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Okay.
She was awesome.
All right.
But it's the interview. It's not a gig. It was like Schindler's List or anything anyway. It's a funny stoner movie.
It's a stoner movie.
Great.
Yeah.
Right.
Here is John Graham Cummings' Tumblr. It's called Movie Code. I think this is his .tumblr.com, in which he talks about source code appearing. And look, they already have the black hat code. They say it's a lot of variable declarations in C++, mostly int and bool. Can't find the source yet. So this is a great blog where they actually try to source this stuff. Is this John Graham Cummings? I can't remember. Digimon, Digital Monsters, Episode 5. Here's a little basic code.
Nice.
This is the HBO remake of Westworld. The code is from serial port testing software for Cellbot, a tool for controlling robots via cell phone. See, it just lifted. There was probably a trap in the back door I used to infiltrate the system. I'll infiltrate the normal operations again and determine the location of the train car. It's Ruby. It's all in Ruby. Great site. Ruby on Rails.
Perfect for the train car.
Yeah. PHP script. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
At least the movie industry has learned one thing.
What's that?
They're keeping the font small, the way it normally is on a display.
Yeah.
Because if you remember years and years ago, it was like, let me hack into the system, and it's like 40-point font.
Are you hacking into Prodigy? What is it you're hacking into?
Would you like to hack? Hit Y and enter.
Hit Y to accept.
This is John Graham Cummings' Tumblr. It's moviecode.tumblr.com. Nice job. Hey, speaking of bugs, there was a fairly significant... Well, no, I should take that back. There was a bug in Windows 8.1, a bug that would require someone with physical access to your computer, but then he could escalate. It was a privilege escalation that bypassed UAC and allowed somebody logged in as a standard user to get administrative users. But again, as Microsoft pointed out, you had to be at the keyboard. Google discovered this 3 months ago. They're probing for bugs a lot, and they find these. Told Microsoft 3 months ago. Microsoft did not patch it. So Google this week released it, including sample code suitable for somebody to take advantage of it. Microsoft says, okay, we'll patch it. This is kind of normal practice. Nobody's upset about this, right? Or are you? Should Google have kept it quiet about this?
Nope.
It comes a time when if the company doesn't fix it.
That's it.
Bad guys are going to get it. The public has a right to know that there's a flaw. Now, it does complicate things that Google and Microsoft are kind of at odds with one another.
So what's the benefit in Google announcing this? If there are there steps that somebody can do as a user to protect themselves from this, or do they literally just have to wait for Microsoft?
The best step would be not let somebody sit down on your computer.
Yeah,
that would be step one. Microsoft says we're working to release a security update to address an elevation of privilege issue. It's important to note that for a would-be attacker to potentially exploit the system, they'd first need a valid logon credential, be able to log on locally to a targeted machine. Of course, if you're logged in and they get to your machine while you're still logged in, that would count. We encourage customers to keep their antivirus software up to date, install all available security updates, and enable the firewall, which, by the way, none of those have anything to do with this hack.
Right. So Google then said that they notified Microsoft at the end of September about it. So this is partially Google sort of shaming Microsoft into action.
Well, I think you could make a case that it's good for Google, which makes its own operating system, which is not vulnerable to this, Chrome OS, to say, you know, look, Microsoft, you've got a flaw. But on the other hand, security researchers have always done this. Yeah. And a 90-day clock is not unusual.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that seems perfectly reasonable for Google to say, look, we notified you 90 days ago. You took no action. We're going to let the public know. And
Google said it's public's right to know.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more Jason Snell, sixcolors.com, when he left IGG, and you left on your own feet. They didn't kick you out the door.
We came to an agreement, I would say. They knew I wanted to leave, and they kept you there for longer
than you wanted to stay.
And they were, yes, and they were making a lot of cuts, and the last thing they wanted to do was keep somebody around who didn't want to be there. So. Yeah. it all worked out for the best.
Yeah. And I highly recommend his new enterprise and his new podcast. It's all at sixcolors.com. What are the, let me just look at the podcast, because Upgrade is the official podcast with you and Mike Hurley.
Yeah.
Clockwise with Dan Morin. I love Dan Morin. And you talk about technology for...
Yeah, that's a 30-minute, super fast 30-minute yeah. Talk show with four guests.
You and Serenity and others doing The Incomparable, which is lots of fun. That's kind of pop stuff. TV Talk Machine with Tim Goodman, who is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know Tim?
Yeah, I know Tim.
And well, obviously, wait a minute. Well, that's a dumb question. Well, you're doing a show.
Now
with him.
I'm doing, yeah.
Did no. you? But I used to read him in the Chronicle.
In the Chronicle,
and I loved him.
I've known him for a while, and that's one of those perfect cases where he's got a lot to say and he knows so much about TV.
Yeah.
And I can be the one who puts him on a regular schedule and edits the podcast and posts it for him, because that's the stuff that he's not good at. He's good at the content. So I kind of am the
I'll have to start listening to this.
Facilitator for that one.
I've always thought he was one of the best TV reviewers out there.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Now at Hollywood Reporter, which means he's got all the inside stuff. Did you guys talk about Sony at all?
No, he's a TV critic, so he is not doing the reporting of the news. He's doing the reviews
reviewing the shows.
So it's very much like what shows are worth watching. And
it sounds watching. Like a great job until you have to watch.
Well, that's exactly it.
You know, Modern Family, all 30 episodes a year.
Yeah, he does a lot of passing off of like reality shows to other people, I think. He's like, no,
nothing to watch here.
Just take that.
And then Total Party Kill, which is a D&D podcast.
Yeah, that's becoming a thing now. We were a little ahead of the curve now. There are a lot of people playing D&D in podcasts now. But, you know, people seem to like it. I think we expected anybody to want to listen to us play Dungeons & Dragons, but they do. And it's fun.
It's amazing what people will listen
to. It is. What a world.
Thank the Lord every day.
What a time to be alive.
Actually, you know what? If you watched our 24-hour show, I think this was the pinnacle of what we built this studio for, what we put together an amazing staff for. They did such an incredible job. And I know nobody watched all 24 hours except us, because we were here. I was here starting at 3, a little before 3 a.m. doing yoga. And then Zach, who did my yoga class, told me he'd been studying yoga for 2 days. But it was still fun. And while yoga was going on, Simon Phipps, who is a host of our Floss Weekly show, was in his beautiful English accent reading poetry. Perfect for 3 a.m. Let's see a little bit of what happened this year on New Year's Eve 2015.
Previously on Twit.
5, 4, 3, 2, start the fog machine.
Twits, 24 hours of 2015, and I want to remind you that this is not just some gratuitous silliness. We're raising money for UNICEF.
Happy New Year, New Zealand!
So far, thanks to your generosity, $23,885. If we get to $40,000 for UNICEF, man, I'd be so happy to shave my head.
Oh, my God!
If we get the $50,000, I promise you that tattoo is going right on my tush.
Oh, my God.
Let's get him in the air.
It's time for Game of Drones.
Oh! Oh, man, and he broke the prop.
Oh, my God, I killed him.
We're crazy here.
How good is that?
Oh, my God, the moon is rising.
Happy New Year, Korea!
All of the UK.
Happy New Year, Melbourne,
New York City. Jack.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2015
from all of us at Twit. And thank you for joining us on our 24 hours of 2015.
That was a lot of fun. And, you know, we had a really incredibly dedicated staff who pitched in on this. It's a long list of people. But they deserve some credit because let's see, Anthony, we call him Iron Man, Anthony Nielsen, Ryan Marsh, our lighting guy, we call him Wizard, Alex Gumpel, the mad scientist, Burke McQuinn, One Stop Shop, Jason C, who's our newest employee, Jason Cleanthus, and he did that great Muppet version of the first episode ever of Twit. We call him the Rookie of the Year. Chris, who's our intern, but Chris was here for the whole time, high school student. He was our best boy endurance cable puller. Did you run cable the whole show? We burned through two camera operators, and you did the whole thing.
Camera for
Jerry
at the end.
Yeah, finally, the second camera operator gave up, went home. He said, I can't take it. But Chris never gave up. You're right on. Debbie, Deb Delkini, who's supermom, Jeffrey, Needles, the judge, Jerry Wagley, graveyard cameraman, late night, because no one else would do it, and all the folks at the Pixel Corps who really helped us. We got all the Skype people ready. And then our major producers, the four who really put it together, Tanya Hall, Carly Perkins, Karsten Bondi, and Glenn Rubenstein. Great job. Guest relations, Greg Burnett and Mario Delkini. Thank you. And, of course, we flew out as many hosts as could make it. A few of them couldn't make it. But Steve Gibson, Paul Thurrott, Jeff Jarvis, Mike Elgin, Chad Johnson, Randall Schwartz, Alex Lindsay, Sarah Lane, Dick DiBartolo, Jason Howell, Renee Ritchie, Ron Richards, Brian Burnett, Mary Jo Foley, Scott Wilkinson, his wife Joanna, Aaron Newcomb, Simon Phipps, Zach. I don't even know Zach's last name. And of course, Lisa Kensel, our CEO, who actually wrote the checks.
Dr. Evil, Zachary Smith.
Zachary Smith. He has... The name, Zach's name is Zachary Smith, the same name as the guy in Lost in Space. Danger. No, he used to say, Will Robert. Yeah, okay. I'll remember his name from now on. But, you know, most importantly, and you didn't put yourself on this list, but Jammer B, John Slanina, worked 48 hours to get this 24 Jammer! Hours together. Jammer B, thank you. All of the episodes are up on our specials feed, twit.tv/specials or youtube.com/twit. If you want to watch me get my head shaved, if you want to watch me get my butt tattooed, if you want to watch the gospel choir, they were amazing, the rock and roll bands, the Dixieland, it was really a lot of fun. So thank you very much. We really appreciate all of your hard work. The staff worked harder than I did. It was a lot of fun. Oh, and it's not too late. UNICEFUSA.org/twit. Currently $61,790, but we could raise more, and people have been going in there and putting more, and we really appreciate that. More than 10,000 in the Twit auctions. I don't have a final total there. Glenn, how much? Do you know what the final total on the auctions was? We're still waiting to get paid.
All of them are paid up until we announce.
And then we'll give you a number. It's over 10, though. Yes. So over $70,000 raised for UNICEF. That's a great thing. I'm very happy. Thank you all for doing that. UNICEFUSA.org/twit. More with Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, doctor!
Uncle Leo, do you not see what's over my shoulder?
Who's
you haven't noticed it, but my Twitter's blowing up.
I see the UFC pad there.
You got the Listerine. Yeah.
There you go. And what's next to that Listerine?
A bottle of brandy and Listerine. What is that? What is that for?
Oh, no.
Twitter's blowing up?
This is that pure white Hennessy, Uncle Leo.
It's pure white Hennessy. It doesn't look so white.
It's not white. It's like a yellow, but it's different because I got it when I went to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, neat.
It is amazing.
And is that, that's a brandy, right?
Yes. I put it, it's a cognac.
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 Pure white cognac.
Yeah, I'll buy you a bottle next time I go on a trip to an island and send it to you.
Did you have to go to the Dominican to get it?
Unless you want to buy it on Craigslist for like triple, quadruple the price. They don't sell it in stores here. So you have to get it like duty free.
Oh, it's like $200 a bottle. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's but I don't like Hennessy at all, but this is amazing. And I put it up there with the Listerine just to see if anybody knows to pay attention. The internet does. Because everybody kept tweeting me like, what's
everything.
Up with the Listerine?
The internet knows everything.
What there's a, with Listerine and the... But yeah, it's really good.
I have to try it.
Yeah.
It's for cognac enthusiasts.
Something.
Something. They don't add
it. I only bought it because I never saw it before. I never even had Hennessy. I was like, oh, it's different. Yeah. I tried it and I liked it.
Wine Searcher. Let's see where we can get it. A miniature is $20. A full bottle is a lot more. Wow.
It was $40 at the airport. And I got home and I went with my family members and they were loading up for Barrel. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, man, I put this stuff on Craigslist. And sure enough, like there, they sell them like gangbusters because you can only buy four bottles, but you could triple your money ASAP.
Neat. Also here, another Audible fan.
Yes.
We share our love of audiobooks at audible.com. Jason Snell, what you listening to these days?
Well, I always like to just promote something. We read a lot of books for The Incomparable. A book called Station 11, which is on Audible by Emily St. John Mandel.
You have the weirdest stuff. Now, it's usually sci-fi.
Yep. This was on some best book of the year list, Station 11. Spelled out E-L-E-V-E-N.
Okay.
There it is.
Emily St. John Mandel.
Great. It's a It's kind of apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic, but not in a really brutal way. It's you know, there's like The Road, which is really dark. And it's not quite that dark, but it's about a group of traveling musicians and actors going from small town to small town in the Midwest after a flu, like the Stand kind
I love
of thing,
that.
Where 99% of the people have died.
Yeah.
The technology is gone, and then these musicians and actors are performing Shakespeare and music in these little towns that are of varying degrees of safe in the Midwest. And it's plus flashbacks to what happened before, and it's kind of beautiful, and I really liked it. And
I am
really
going to add that right now, because for some reason I'm really drawn to these end of the world.
Yeah, there are
stories.
A lot of them right now too.
Yeah,
but that's
was
a good
the
one.
First one. It came out in the 50s, and it's such a good book. And it's the first one I remember. Although I imagine there's more. So one of the nice things you can do with Audible is when you hear somebody talk about it, you got to make an Audible account. You can add those books to your wish list. This is another one I've got to get, the complete Sherlock Holmes, narrated by one of my favorite Audible readers, Simon Vance. He's got the perfect British accent and is a wonderful reader. Whoops, how did that happen? Let me go back to Audible here. So what you, when you, it happens all the time, you hear people, because that's one of the things, if you're an Audible, people are going to talk, and what are you listening to? What are you listening to? I think that's another one of yours, Ancillary Justice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I have my wish list is filled with stuff that you recommended, which is awesome. And Andy and Anko. And all.
Yep.
So let me tell you how you can get two books for free. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you'll be signing up for the Platinum Plan. That's the 2-book-a-month subscription. That's the one I use. But, you know, but I think two books is for the serious reader. And I love having all these great books. Are you going to go see the movie American and Sniper? Read the book that the movie's based on. You're a fan of Amy Poehler? She's going to be, isn't she? Is she hosting the Golden Globes this year?
Yeah, with Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, they're doing it again.
Yep.
Gosh, I love that. So her book, Yes, Please, is narrated by her with appearances from Carol Burnett and Seth Meyers and others. It's great stuff. If you like showbiz, if you like fiction, if you like nonfiction, great science fiction. A lot of nonfiction, too. Really great stuff. I'm a big fan. I do an alternate. I read fiction, nonfiction, to keep myself fresh. And I listen to Audible all the time in the car. I wish I had a good commute. I don't anymore, but I still listen every, you know, even if I'm just driving to work 5 minutes, I listen. When I go to bed, I'll listen to Audible. When I am in the gym, of course, I'm going to listen to Audible. Walking the dog, doing the dishes. I put Audible on the speakers in the house and listen all around the house. It sounds crazy. There's this big booming voice going out throughout the house on my Sonos. Audible.com. Look at this, Randall Monroe. What if serious scientific answers to absurd hypothetical questions? I love Randall Monroe. And Will Wheaton narrates this one. So here's the deal. It's hard to pick two, but pick two. Then go to audible.com/twit2. You're going to get 2 credits. Your first month is free. You can cancel in that first month, pay nothing, but those books will be yours to keep. You'll also get the free subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times daily audio programs. Fascinating reading that will keep you engaged, that will make you happy. I love this. I like the cover anyway. The Last American Vampire by Seth Graham Smith. I tell you, it brought reading back into my life. Audible.com/twit2. Listen and enjoy. This Week in Tech continues on. Owen J.J. Stone, you thought it'd be a nice short show, didn't you, Owen?
No, I knew better than that, Uncle Leo. Even if we have to fill it with our delightful entertainment, the gray-haired one wouldn't allow us to leave the show early.
Not exactly gray-haired anymore. Hey, did the Cowboys lose yet?
They're about to win, I think.
Oh, no. The Lions are going down and
They're trying to pull it out here.
Come on, Detroit.
Come on, Jason. Don't put me in that hole yet. They're working. They're working.
They're working on it.
It's exciting. Did you see the Lizard Squad? Have you seen the Lizard Squad?
Lizard Squad
is the hacking the team that took said, we did it. We brought down on Christmas Day. We made a lot of kids cry.
Oh, they're the real Grinches. The real Grinches.
The real Grinches are the Lizard Squad. They brought down the Sony network and they brought down Xbox.
Right? Xbox Live.
Brian Krebs, one of our favorite security guys, identified him And now for 40 days, he's been bombarded by DDoSed, Brian Krebs' site. Just jerks. Can I just say they're jerky jerk jerks? They ruined Christmas for people not just in the U.S. but all over the world by DDoSing. And by the way, it's a trivial thing to do. You don't have to have mad skills. They're just jerky jerks. And then they said, oh, just go out and get some fresh air. What are you, mom? You're a jerky jerk and you're talking like your mom. So Brian Krebs identified two members, a 22-year-old British man called Vinny Omari, who immediately got arrested. Yeah, enjoy that time in prison. You know what prisoners do to hackers.
Ask them to fix their computer?
That's right.
Ask them to fix their credit. That's the first thing you ask for. Forget my computer.
And a 16-year-old Finnish boy, Julius Kivimaki, he's been questioned, but not at this date arrested yet. They, of course, have joined in by mocking his hairline. Go ahead, mock my hairline.
You don't have one anymore, Leo.
Hairline? What hairline? Anyway, good news is at least one has been arrested, allegedly. Allegedly. Lizards. We don't know for sure he's a lizard squatter.
Yes, an alleged
hacker lizard squad.
Arrested.
Yeah. He confirms it. The Daily Dot has the story. He even provided a photo of the search warrant. They took everything. Xbox One, phones, laptops, computers, USBs, etc. Of course they did, you nitwit. That's what they do.
In some ways, isn't this the sort of thing that has to happen for some of this internet crime stuff, especially like just trolling and doxing people and swatting people and doing these denial of service attacks? Isn't this the only way that there will be a cool off is if people, I mean, I remember when I was a kid and I had a computer and people were like doing phone freaking and stuff like that, where they're like stealing. There was always that question of like, will we get in trouble? Will we get arrested? And they're like, nah, it's not going to matter.
They'll never catch us.
Who
cares?
Something like this. I think there is at least a little bit of a chilling effect. I don't think it's ever going to stop. But you know, if some people actually get in trouble an effect.
Can I tell you the truth, though? And this is why we'll never probably know what happened to Sony. Unless a hacker boasts, it's usually hard to catch.
Very hard.
But as soon as you go, oh, I did that, then, well, I think.
And then the best people who are in the best position to figure it out are the people behind the wall who want to keep everything a secret because they're working for a government. So
here's the big argument. Yeah, right. That's why governmental hacks will never come out, right? Yeah. We'll never know who did Flame or any of these governmental.
Right, and they may know who did some of this stuff and not want to say it because they don't want to reveal why they would know.
Well, here's the funny thing. Lizard Squad's attack against the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live apparently was to market their new DDoS service. They call it Lizard Stressor. They launched it Tuesday morning, and the prices are fair, between, I think, $5 and $500, and you can use it to DDoS. Any idiot can run a DDoS attack.
Don't give them your credit card.
Yeah.
Pay in Bitcoin, okay? Pay them in Bitcoin.
The most expensive tier offers 30,000 seconds of attack. That's about 20 days. Costs $130 a month. So I expect that we will quickly be DDoSed by these guys. Mm-hmm. For $500, just kick it in because then you can launch unlimited attacks.
Can't we just get better security? I mean, I didn't mind when my PlayStation 3 went down because it was free. But I'm sitting up here paying $50, $60 a year for PlayStation and Xbox and it goes down on Christmas Day and two punks took it down. That's a huge problem.
I can tell you the solution, and it's so easy that this is embarrassing.
It is.
If internet service providers were willing to do what it takes, this would go away. The only way you can launch a DDoS attack... and there's some really good, by the way, and I don't know if they're using this, amplification attacks that use known flaws in things like the network time protocol. So one guy with a small – you don't have to have huge pipes anymore to do a DDoS attack. You can take advantage of these amplification attacks. Even if you're on a dial-up, you could bring down massive sites. A DDoS attack works by sending a packet, a SYN packet, to a website. There are other ways to do it, but the basic idea is websites can't ignore SYN packets. That's the – knock on the door saying, hey, I want to look at your site. They come back with a SYN ACK. If you're trying to DDoS a site, you flood them with SYNs and you don't care about the ACK. And the site is so busy handling all these incoming knocks that it doesn't have time for any normal users. So you bring the site down by flooding its bandwidth with malformed packets. The identifying IP addresses in these packets are rotated. They're bogus. They're spoofed. Obviously, you wouldn't want it to be your IP address. That'd make it really easy to catch you. In fact, very easy to block. So you have a different IP address for every SYN. But the way we stop this is whoever the ISP is for the person launching the attack, all they have to do is they see all the outbound traffic is say, well, is that an IP address from our network? It's not. And just stop it. And there would be no DDoSing. This is from Steve Gibson, our security guy. It's that simple.
We need to fix that.
ISPs are acting irresponsibly by allowing this to happen.
Maybe that's why we need Google Fiber to be spread out across the land, because apparently they like telling people about holes in their...
Well, I think you can guarantee if Google were the ISP that they would say, hey, is this coming from, is this IP address? Does this IP address match the IP address of the user, or was it within the range of our IP addresses? And if not, just stop it. All DDoS attacks, they'd have to find a new way to do it.
I know we skipped it, but real quick, I need the FCC to approve Google's request so we can get this thing crack-a-lacking and roll out nationwide, because I need Google in my life for my ISP.
Google wants to roll out. Is that what it is? I didn't see it. Google wants to roll out gigabit Ethernet internet everywhere?
Yeah, they filed so they can become like a network, hired. Whatever, like Comcast. I just need it.
By the way, the Cowgirls look like the Cowgirls won.
They won. That's why I need something happy in my life like Google.
Let me tell you something.
It's okay. You can root against them next week, too.
That's right. Let me tell you something. The real way to humiliate a team is to let them get to the Super Bowl and then have them lose.
Yeah, that's true.
As a 49er fan, I know.
But if they get there and win, then I'm SOL.
Yeah, then there's always that risk, right? But the farther they go and then the sooner they lose, that's great. Good. I would love to see. So this is interesting because Google always kind of implied that this was just to show that it could be done, not that they wanted to make a business out of it. Good. Yeah. FCC is going to be busy. They're also, the Marriott has petitioned them to allow them to proceed illegally and block Wi-Fi access points on their properties.
Again, it's just like the people that made that stupid Sony video that told me to kick ponies. Who sits in a room and has this discussion and comes up with
Dr.
this stuff?
Dr. Evil.
Do you not understand that, like, general people will tell people, don't stay there because, not one, they charge you triple the price other hotels charge
for crappy internet.
And they won't let you use your own internet. Like, why would someone do this? Like, the nickel and diming of certain companies is just so idiotic over the broad span of the money that they would save with goodwill. Because now other hotels are coming out saying, oh, well, we've got free internet. We've doubled the speed. Come stay with us. And people say, sure, I'm going to fight the enemy just like I fought North Korea by downloading the interview.
So Marriott says that it's not their intent to do that, that they filed this petition because there are people doing like fake base stations that are matched up to their conference rooms and things like that. They've got a whole story about it. But the problem is what they're trying to do is erode this very fundamental idea that this spectrum is for the public use and that anybody can use
it. Unregulated.
And that it's illegal to jam it or block it in any way. And they say, no. You, of course, will be able to use your Wi-Fi hotspot in your own room. But once they have the right to block it, they could block it anywhere, and it's just a terrible idea.
It is a fundamental tenet that this is unregulated, and it may not
junk spectrum, right? It's supposed to be, exactly.
So the other thing the FCC is going to do, they say soon, is rule on this Title II regulation, the net neutrality regulation. In a letter to the FCC, Google's Director of Communications Law, Austin Schlick, said there could be a good thing if we go with Title II, because that gives Google Fiber access to utility poles and other essential infrastructure owned by utilities. Right now, the way that these companies can preserve their monopoly is say, hey, and you can't use our infrastructure. But if they're Title II, the FCC can say, no, you got to open that up. That's a good thing, because what is the best way to protect net neutrality? Competition. We all agree. Nobody disagrees that the best way to do this would be have some competition. The only reason I'm still a Comcast customer is because I have no choice.
Yeah, me too.
And Comcast isn't buying Google, at least not in the foreseeable future.
So on my site, Six Colors, a couple months ago, Glenn Fleischman wrote this piece that was about the same issue. And he was saying the tech giants really ought to get in this game. Google has got the right idea here, and that other tech giants like Apple should also try to invest in broadband only because the more competition there is and the more you don't have the cable companies as gatekeepers, the safer it's going to be for people to build their businesses on the internet. And I think, you know, I'm rooting for Google Fiber. And I'm not, you know, in some areas, not a big fan of Google, but I am absolutely rooting for Google Fiber because there need to be more options for broadband internet in the United States.
Well, and the other thing is that that Obama proposed Title II. FCC is certainly considering declaring that broadband providers are common carriers. But we have not heard anything from Microsoft and Apple and Google to Facebooks. These guys really should be stepping up. This is the first indication in any way that Google supports this. So that's it's good news, too. I think the FCC has been waiting to hear from these guys. And in fact, there have been some who have accused the big companies of secretly fighting Title II with lobbyists.
It's the mafia, dude. Like,
yeah.
The reason some of these companies don't get into that space is because the old factory machine is kicking in alive.
That's right.
And they're new. So to jump into bed with that, like, Google's got to put their foot in the water and show that they're not going to jump out. And then other people might try and get in on it because everybody's got TV in their house. You know what I mean? So something like Apple coming in and being a direct pipeline in your home would be something they'd love to do. But it's not something they're going to step out and branch out to do like what Google might, because – you know, they want to try everything. You know, they make stupid networks. They make all kinds of crazy stuff that flops, and they don't care. So if anybody's going to try and do something different, Google's the one to lead the way. And I'm happy for it.
And then Hollywood continues its war against piracy with a bizarre idea.
They took down PirateBay.org. Sad day in the world.
Hollywood, according to leaked documents, wonder where they came from. Hollywood has a new secret weapon in the fight, a little-known legal venue designed to take new powers over the digital realm. It's called the ITC, the International Trade Commission. It's been around for a while. It's the company that kind of prevents, you know, the fake Gucci bags from coming in to the United States. But the ITC, and I don't know if many people know this, recently gave itself the power to examine data as it comes in. Not merely handbags, but data. This goes back to a 3D printing case. If the decision holds and you know, the courts don't overturn this, it means that data could now be stopped, like the Pirate Bay at the border. Fascinating. We'll watch this case with great interest. There are a number of Supreme Court cases that are coming up this spring that are going to be very interesting for the internet. Google did release its top search terms. We'll talk about those in just a second. Before we do, though, a reminder that if you're doing meetings, you should be doing them online. There's no reason, especially with clients and colleagues spread out all over the world, no better way to do it. It's frankly faster, more efficient, more effective, more fun than a face-to-face meeting. It's GoToMeeting. You know, you've heard me talk about that forever. Good communication is critical for every business, especially with people distributed all over the world. You need to stay connected. You need to meet with coworkers, brainstorm, break through log jams. And clients, there's no better way to present. They prefer it. That's why, really, seriously, your client does not want to bring you to lunch. They just want to hear your pitch and decide. That's why millions of small business professionals rely on GoToMeeting from Citrix. Citrix GoToMeeting, you should too. It's the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. GoToMeeting, not only do you get the screen sharing, so you're on the same page, review documents and presentations in real time, but then you turn on the HD video conferencing. Now you're seeing each other face-to-face. You can present, you can demonstrate, you can meet from anywhere with any Mac, any PC, any tablet. Imagine holding a meeting from your iPad. You can. Any smartphone. We use GoToMeeting all the time. It is a really great tool. It's just efficient. It's fast. It's easy for you. It may be even more important, it's easy for your clients. They just click a link. If they don't have the software, it downloads quick, and they're there. And they love it. See why millions use GoToMeeting. See why we use GoToMeeting. Start hosting your online meetings today, face-to-face, for 30 days free at GoToMeeting.com. All you have to do is visit GoToMeeting.com. There's a big yellow, or I guess it's orange, try it free button. Click that and you get 30 days free. GoToMeeting. Citrix GoToMeeting. We love it. You will too. We saw Google's talked about the top trending searches before. Robin Williams is number one, World Cup, Ebola, Malaysia, Airlines, and Flappy Bird. But now they've put out some interesting other trends. Trending people. Jennifer Lawrence, I wonder why. Kim Kardashian, what are they looking for? Tracy Morgan, oh, he had that car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
People were worried about him. Ray Rice kicked off the who's he playing for? The Ravens?
The Ravens, yeah.
He's playing for the home couch right now.
Yeah. Playing at home. Tony Stewart. Race car driver?
Yeah. That's the guy he ran over somebody in a race.
Oh, that horrible thing, yeah. Here's one. Animated GIFs. What do you think the number one animated GIF was for the year? I want to see it. Miguel Herrera. He's the FIFA coach. So apparently his hair is on fire and I don't know what.
Yeah, Mexico. During the World Cup, he was the Mexico national team. And
he was so much
totally
fun.
Acting out on the sidelines, yeah.
Here's a collection of Miguel Herrera GIFs. I'm not sure which one was the winning GIF or GIF. What do you say?
I don't want to say because it'll just make half the people angry at me.
What is this? I have to sign up for something.
In the 80s, I learned that it was GIF, and so I can't change it now.
I say GIF because it's graphics.
I was about to say, Jason, I was going to make you give an answer. You have to take a stand.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, but that was, I realize there's lots of evidence to the contrary, but it's too late now.
It is.
GIF forever.
Luis Suarez, the biter.
The biter.
Madden. Is John Madden? Is a GIF of Madden?
Sure. Probably the
Godzilla
video game.
And the Shmoney Dance. What's the Shmoney Dance? I don't know. Should I click this?
Yeah, you could click it.
What's the Shmoney Dance? Oh, is this... what is this?
It's a guy who does a dance because he can't dance and everybody does it.
I think I'm looking in the wrong... I feel like I'm searching all the places.
You're not playing the GIFs anyway, or GIFs.
I will if I could find it.
GIF GIFs.
I am kind of... I feel that I might be... GIF challenged here.
I think it's the fact that you lost your hair and brain capacity.
That's actually something I've been asking.
The shave might have been too close, Uncle Leo. She might have took some cells with it.
Elmo does a shmoney dance. Have you seen Elmo do the shmoney dance?
I've seen a lot of shmoney dances.
This is a meme I missed.
It's not in your wheelhouse, Uncle Leo.
Is this the Cowboys?
I'm actually surprised because usually when there's a dance craze with videos on the internet, Yeah,
I'm here to do it. I do not know the Shmoney Dance. I missed that one. That was only number six. Then Robin Williams, Ashley Wagner, Dancing Groot, and Vince McMahon.
Oh, Dancing Groot.
Gotta love it. Number one actor, Jared Leto. He was great in the Dallas Buyers Club. I guess that's a hangover from that.
Yeah.
Then Matthew McConaughey. Okay, that proves
it. True Detective
and Dallas Buyers Club. Macaulay Culkin. Why is he the number three actor? The Home Alone kid?
Put up he died like three times.
But he didn't, right?
No, he didn't.
Jennifer Lawrence, number one actress for obvious reasons. Renee Zellweger, because everybody's wondering, what the heck? And Betty White. Is she dead? No.
She had death rumors. Yeah, that's true.
Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Richard Sherman.
Betty White.
Who doesn't love Betty White?
I don't know. Lot of people. I would love to hang out with Betty White.
What's the number one beer on Google? Bud. Then Corona. Then this, I think, represents America's drinking. Keystone, Miller, and Blue Moon. We could do better than that. Here's the number one beauty question. How do I get rid of acne? Number two, how do I get rid of stretch marks? Number three, how often should I
wash
my hair? What do you do after you shave your head?
Yeah. Good question.
Do you need to wash your hair? What is BB cream? I'm not going to click that link.
And this is a family show, Uncle Leo. You can't trust the internet.
You
can't trust the internet.
I cannot. Number one book, Boy Snow Bird. Never heard of it. Number two, Blood Will Out. These are probably all young adult, right? Number three, Savage Harvest. City of Heavenly Fire, Flash Boys. Calorie searches. Google does that now. How many calories are in? What do you think? I'm going to reveal it. Owen J.J. Stone, what is the number one search for how many calories are in?
Soda.
I'm going to say donut.
Burger.
And the winner is banana. Banana. Banana.
You people are so healthy.
Aren't you glad I didn't say donut? You know why it's banana? Because that was the example Google gave when they told people it could do that. So we're going to throw that answer out and go to number two. Number two, pumpkin pie.
This is horrible.
What is America? What's wrong with America?
This is the worst game of Family Feud ever.
Yes.
Apple.
And this is horrible.
And we're going to throw those all out. What's number four? Egg. People
go,
are
go to 15. Get down to some nitty gritty of human life.
Cheeseburger. Oh, there it is. Number
you
six.
Win because it was the most.
And Big Mac is number
then Big
seven.
Mac,
you
then
put those
watermelon,
together.
Orange.
You know how many calories are in a Big Mac? You know how many calories in a Big Mac? 1150.
What?
See, it's going to be stuff.
How many grams of fat, Mr. Owen J.J. Stone?
It's going to be stuff without a label.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd look it up.
49 grams of fat.
That's disgusting.
It's delicious, and they're taking it off the menu, apparently, so
what?
I got to go get one.
What?
Now, they didn't take it off. They had a big thing saying McDonald's is going to unsupersize stuff. And
they better not.
Big Mac.
That Big Mac.
But McDonald's is hurting. Nobody eats McDonald's anymore because they won't tell people what's in their meat. So McDonald's better do something.
I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When I worked at McDonald's as a young man, I was in high school. It was my first job. I worked at McDonald's. This is where my weight problem began, Owen. I was working, and the guy said, you can go on break, because they don't want to waste burgers. You know, they actually count how many don't get eaten, and they have to be eaten. There's a little timer. When the timer runs out, they have to throw them in the waste bin and get counted at the end of the day. The guy said, you go on a break, but you got to eat all seven of these Big Macs so I don't have to waste them.
I did.
So how many calories? That's 7,700 calories.
That's amazing. I love Big Macs so much, but I don't
eat too.
Them.
I do, too. I love them. I crave them. They got me hooked.
Okay, let me tell you something. Here's the fat man cheat on that, because you know to put the extra piece of bread in there.
Yeah.
You go ask for a double cheeseburger with Big Mac sauce on it.
Yeah, baby.
And that way,
I love those double cheese.
And you just got the Big Mac sauce because that's all that matters. Anyway, I'm sorry.
You know, something happens when you lose your hair. Your butt gets bigger. Ford number one cars: Ford, Jeep, Dodge, Toyota, General Motors. Boring. Celebrity pregnancies.
Pregnancies. hey, that girl, you know that girl pregnant, right? Yeah, pregnant.
Mila Kunis, she's pregnant or just fat? Ciara, Kourtney Kardashian, Kate Middleton, Kerry Washington, celebrity weddings, Kim and Kanye, of course. Do they have a name like, you know how Brangelina?
Kimye?
Kimye.
That sounds like South Korean treat. I have some Kimye. George Clooney and that person no one knows.
Oh, to
Amal
Al-Amudin. We talked about music and the power of people. Kanye West put out a song on the internet and it blew up everywhere. He didn't release it anywhere or do anything. But again, the power of Kanye.
Yep.
He did some song with Paul McCartney. And next thing you know, I saw it on Twitter, Facebook.
Me too.
Everybody was talking about it. And that was no radio play, no nothing, because he put it out at midnight day after New Year's. So depends on the artist.
I saw it on the internet too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a good song?
I like it because he's talking about family and whatever. It's a crap song, but the message is nice.
It's not Ebony and Ivory, is it?
No. He's just talking about having kids and raising kids and what he wants them to be when they grow up. So if you've got a kid, you feel like, nice. Oh, I care about him.
Oh, I remember. I listened to the first line. It was so auto-tuned, I said, I can't listen to the rest.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a good song, but the message is a good message.
Kanye does like his auto-tune, don't he?
He do. He do.
Diets. Top five diets. Paleo. Atkins.
Paleo.
We're the wrong guys to ask about that. Paleo, Atkins, gluten-free, Mediterranean, and DASH. Don't know what that is.
DASH is I'm running to get this food, son.
I want a Big Mac. Let me DASH out. You got seven Big Macs? I'll take them. Why do
that
dogs
sounds so horrible.
Top dog questions. Why do dogs eat grass? Do dogs dream? Why do dogs howl? You know, I was really disappointed the Pope did not say dogs go to heaven. That was wrong.
Have you seen the movie?
Donations. Donate to ALS. Donate to Ebola. I did that search. Donate to breast cancer. Donate
you should
to
not Ebola. Donate to Ebola. It is a terrible virus. You should donate against Ebola.
Yeah, no wonder there's a problem. People keep donating to Ebola.
It's a terrible
mistake. It
doesn't
need your money.
If you do not donate to me, I will give you Ebola. I have Ebola, and I want my donations.
Okay, this is it. We're going to wrap it up. How-to questions. How to airdrop.
Hello, Apple.
No one can figure that out.
Well, now there's two different versions of it, and it's
very
confusing.
That should tell you, Apple, right there, that's a problem. How to contour. What's that? Is that something? What is that? Contour? Is that something the kids are doing? How to vote. How do I vote? How to kiss. How to craft. Wow. How to what block? Color block. I don't know what that is. I'm not a crafty kind of guy.
Do you know what the best part about this is?
What?
Someone's going to be making videos for all these trying to grab YouTube clicks.
Uh-huh. Because now we know what the top search terms are, don't we?
Right?
Yep. Natural events. Places on Google Maps. The number most searched place on Google Maps, Walmart. then Starbucks, then Target, then McDonald's. Mm-hmm. See, who says they're not eating at McDonald's anymore? Best recipes, chicken recipes, then meatloaf, banana bread, pancake, and chili. And the number one podcast, what a surprise.
Cereal.
Followed by Stone Cold Steve Austin, Startup, John Bachelor, Shane and Friends, True Detective, Night Vale, Ask Women, Tim Ferriss, Strange. What, can I go more than 10? Can I have another 10? No.
Everybody knows where you already are, Leo. They don't need to search for you.
Night Vale's good. Yeah, they don't need
Night
to search
Night Vale's great.
That's good. All of those are good podcasts. Yeah. I'm not going to knock
out. Love Cereal.
Everybody loves Cereal.
Who did it? Nobody knows. Keep listening. Mm. It's like that's stuff like that is like the best gimmick in the world. I'm going to tell you a tale that has no answer. Yeah, there was a Sony hack. Who did it? Was
we
it
don't
North
know.
Korea
Go
or
on.
Your
yeah.
mom?
Endings
I
are hard if you don't have to
it.
Do one.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
All right, there you go. The top charts. This is all at Google's website. The 2014, we searched trillions of times. What do these searches say about us? They don't say what they say about us. They just say what they are. You decide. Anything else to talk about? Sony hack, we already decided that it was Michael, what is it? Michael Mann?
Michael Mann.
Michael Mann.
Okay.
Mann. Black Hat. He might have gotten some help from Thor, his hacker.
He put the hammer down. That's all I'm saying. He put the hammer down.
I think that's it. I think we can wrap this sucker up. I think we have now covered the entire spectrum of great tech stories as we begin the new year with two great tech journalists. We love you, Jason Snell, sixcolors.com.
Thanks, Leo.
Spelled out, S-I-X. And, of course, Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, doctor. Ben Thompson was going to join us today from Stratechery. We apologize he wasn't here. He wasn't feeling well. We'll get Ben on next week or soon. And don't forget, our coverage of CES is week long, nonstop, wall to wall. No, it's not. But we will have a lot of coverage. Do we have a week ahead? Mike Elgin will be doing that on TNT, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, Monday through Friday. Coverage begins there, but we'll have coverage throughout our shows. A very special Home Theater Geeks this week with Scott Wilkinson visiting all the major TV players to see what's new in TVs. Father Robert Ballasaire, he's going to Showstoppers tonight. That'll be our first special. It'll come out tomorrow, but he's going to look search the show floor for interesting stuff. And, of course, Dick DiBartolo, the Gizwiz, he looks for the silliest, weirdest, oddest. He goes to all the weird small booths. I think by doing that, we cover the waterfront. Mm-hmm. We cover the waterfront. Owen, what are you going to do this week? Anything fun?
I'm actually going to do some work this week because I take the month of December off, so I do no work whatsoever.
That is so great. So you feel rested.
I owe Lisa an email. Lisa, I'm so sorry. Monday afternoon-ish, you will get an email from me because I need to respond to you. And it is great not to work. I like not working. If I could get paid to sit here and look cute, I would.
We will pay you. We will pay you to sit there and look cute. Right. I have money in my pocket, and I am prepared to throw it at you.
Well, that's why I got all these singles. On the
What are you going to a strip club tonight? What is that all about?
I'm a teddy bear. They paid for this. They paid me.
That's my money. You earned that money. They put that in your jockstrap. Before you go, will you do the shmoney dance for me?
No, I'm not doing the shmoney dance for you. I'm not ending up looped on the internet. I know better. And you know, you're so lucky you picked the Elmo one because that song has very graphic words upon it. And if you would have picked any other song to play with something, shmoney dance, get out of here. Snell, smack them.
We're going to send you a case of delicious cream corn and your very own ham. All for being on the show. Thank you, everybody. If you can.
Why you knucklehead you?
If you can't watch live, and it is fun to watch live, starts at 3 p.m. Pacific Sunday, every Sunday on this network. And by the way, Jason put together a very good best of. Thank you. Last week, we got the week off.
That was
because
great.
Jason's best of.
No problem.
Nice
job. It was
job.
A pleasure.
Jason Howell, our...
Honestly, could not have done it without everybody's input.
Thank you
suggestions,
for all of those. So. Yeah, because he wasn't here all week, all year.
Right.
So thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. Yeah. You will find us here 3 p.m. Pacific Sundays from now on. No more time off for us. That's 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC. Please watch live if you can. On-demand audio and video always available after the fact on our website, twit.tv, wherever podcasts are aggregated, including iTunes and all that stuff. And our great apps, thank you to all our great app developers. We don't do an official Twit app. We don't have to. But you can find them on Android, on iOS, even Windows Phone and Roku. Thanks to Craig for that one. Craig Mullaney at ShiftKey Software. If you want to be in our studio, we'd love to have you. Just email us so we can put a chair out for you. Twit. I'm sorry. What is the email? Tickets at twit.tv, right? Tickets at twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Another Twit is in the can. Cough clap. Off clap.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a pleasure. You look great in there. Look at that gangsta.
I know.
He's got the little tilt on the hat.
Should I do that, Leo? Should I do
That's because my hat's too big. I can't. My dad's head. If I put this on like this, it's just. I look like a cowboy.
How about this?
Or, I don't know. Or like a FBI agent. Oh, now you look,
now
like,
I look
a cowboy.
Like a walker.
Yeah, or a farmer. Got some sheep in the back 40.
Where did you get that hat from?
Isn't that awesome?
Who even makes a hat like that? Like, what is the purpose?
Oh, this one's even better. You want to see this one? See, I got the whole collection here, so I could be ready for anything.
Yeah, got some more hats for you.
So that's for the Rasta hair, obviously, because that's like a Rasta hat.
I need dreads coming out of this.
Dreads and raised hat.
And this is the Amish hat. I was doing a little.
Going to raise a barn. Going to churn some butter.
I like this. This is good. That's like yours, Owen.
There you go.
It's a nice hat. It's got a brim.
What's the title?
You know, this studio is not lit for you to wear a hat, though.
No.
You're all like a man of mystery.
That's why we have this. So it's better to have hats without brims like this. I should have done the whole show like this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my head shaved, and then I got it leatherized.
Accentuates the egg shape of your head.
I tell you what, being a pilot is a very hard and technical skill to do. You got thousands of hours, hundreds of hours to learn. But you putting that hat on just set aviation back 300 years.
very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits. Elmer Fudd was bald, too, wasn't he?
Show title.
Elma. Oh, wait a minute. I got a Jane hat.
What are you doing with all these hats?
I have thousands. You haven't been out here lately.
I know.
I've become the Howard Hughes of hats. I've been collecting hats like crazy.
You're preparing for this day.
I must have known somehow.
Oh, now there we go. Now we're.
I could be in Bob's Burgers.
That is the one you have to wear to bed.
This is
that's your bedtime.
Now, you know, I will wear this to bed. I will wear this to bed. That's a great idea. Lisa's not too happy with this, so I might as well just go all the way.
Does this stuff never get posted anywhere? Because this is gold, man. This is gold.
Comedy gold.
You need the specials feed. Needs to have like the special
I briefly had a mohawk.
Wow.
I got a lot of them.